ജയമുഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥില പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിരഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപൂർധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഓർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓർ ഗ്ലോറീസ് വിത്ത് അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറീസ് വിത്ത് അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറീസ് വിത്ത് അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമി ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണീ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സബലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദിഗവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത ഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി ഹൃദേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യപരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിദാദ്രദാനനിന്ദോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭത മുരാരേ മധുരിണ കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമദ് ഗുരു ചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം ഹരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കുമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി ഹുമളം ഭുജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളായും കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം അംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ മുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദ്ദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും യുഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്വരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ ഹേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ മൗനവ്യാഖ്യാപ്രകടിതപരം ബ്രഹ്മതത്വം യുവാനം വാർഷിഷ്ടാന്ദേവശദർശികനൈ ആവൃതം ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠൈ ആചാര്യേന്ദ്രം കരകലിത ചിന്മുദ്രരൂപം മുദ്രമാനന്ദരൂപം സ്വാൽപാരാമം മുദിതവദനം ദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തിമീരേ വിശ്വം ദർപ്പണ ദൃശ്യമാന നഗരി തുല്യം നിജന്തർഗതം ഭൂതം പശ്യന്നാത്മനിമായയാ ബഹിരിവോ ഭൂതം യഥാ നിദ്രയാ യസ് സാക്ഷാത് കുരുതേ പ്രബോധസമയേ സ്വാത്മാനമേവ ദ്വയം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ ബീജസ്യാന്തര്യങ്കുരോ ജഗദിദം പ്രാങ് നിർവികൽപം പുനഃ മായാ കൽപ്പിത ദേശകാലകലന വൈചിത്ര ചിത്രീകൃതം മായാവീവ വിജൃംഭയാധിമഹാ യോഗീ വയസ്വേച്ഛയാ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. So yesterday when we talked about the senses and the mind, I mentioned there that the questions that's asked normally in Shastram, they call it as Indriya Vedyam. Indriya Vedyam means that those questions that's coming from the mind and the senses, they're called Indriya Vedyam. Questions that's coming from the mind and the senses, they're called Indriya Vedyam, through senses. So this question, that who is experiencing it, that's not a question from the senses or the mind. Other questions are all from the senses and the mind. For example, inquiring about the creation, inquiring about the world, or all other kinds of sensual activities. But that question which does not come from the mind and the senses is that, where is this? Who is experiencing this? So, or who is seeing this world? Or who is seeing this Maya? Who is seeing this Maya? And who is that person? Who is that I? Who is asking that question? Who is that person who is seeing this? So you can see here that just like a magic, when we wake up in the morning, the night when we went to sleep, in the deep sleep, everything you have left behind, everything has gone away from us. Somewhere, wherever it is, it's gone and dissolved somewhere. But in the morning when we wake up, Maya managed to bring back everything and present it to us in a similar the way we have left it in the night before, isn't it? So it is at that time this question comes, that who is this person who is looking at this? That when Maya just like a magic, that is what was mentioned there, that Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. See that? It's an amazing phenomenon this is. We don't think about it. That imagine in the night you go to sleep and you have lost everything in the sleep, in the deep sleep state. Home, family, friends, society, money, everything you have lost it. But how is that in the morning when you wake up, you are coming back and remembering all these things? Is that not interesting when you think about it? When you have a little time to relax, you think through all these things, it's interesting. That you realize it, that how is that it's happening? In the night time, in the deep sleep, you are losing everything. And in the morning, wake up, the whole thing is coming back. So where was this? You see, if it was in the memory, but memory is also not there in the deep sleep. There is no memory. There is no awareness at all, and there is no I there. Even I wasn't there. Awareness in the sense that owning all these things, or ownership is not there. Enjoyership is not there. Doership is not there. No attachment anywhere. No uneasiness with anything. No ragam, no dvesham, nothing there. All gone. And in that deep sleep you have existed, and then when you come back, this whole thing comes back again. And that is what he's saying there. Maya kalpita. It's a very important verse, that is. If you only you understand the depth of it. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitrikritam. Vichitram it is. Vichitram means, you know what vichitram means? Vichitram means it's, you can't explain that phenomenon. This phenomenon you can't explain this. Vaichitram it is. Vichitram. Vaichitra chitrikritam. Maya eva vijrumbidam. Abhi mahayogi vayasvachaya. Only Maya can do such a thing. And that too with everybody in this world. Irrespective of who it is, isn't it? And that is why it's called the word, see that word, vijrumbhanam. Vijrumbhayatyavi maha. Vijrumbhanam means it is different than it pops up. That's what it's called. Vijrumbhanam. Vijrumbhanam means something that pops up. All this forgotten information just pops up in the vacant state when you wake up. Yogi vaya svechaya. And that happens just like Yogishwaras, they are able to perform that. Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye. Let's understand that better, because who is seeing this world? This question comes, isn't it? Who is the person who is seeing this world? Like yesterday we discussed this. We said that rishis knew this problem with us, that we give too much importance to the vacant state rather than the dream state and the deep sleep. Dream state is the explanation for creation. Remember, we discussed yesterday. The dream state is the explanation for creation. Just like we are creating in the dream state. The power of the Atma to create is shown in the dream state. When we expand ourselves in the dream state into so many other people, we sit separately from that and watch the whole thing. That is creation. And that creation process in the dream state is the explanation for the whole creation. It is Mahavishnu's dream, this is. In his dream, he has created this. But we are all part of that dream. So dream state is the explanation for creation. Deep sleep state is the explanation for liberation. Because you can see, when you go into the deep sleep state, everything is gone and you are feeling happy there. Without all these things. Here, with all these things, we are not happy. There, without anything, we are happy. Is that not interesting? Here, struggling hard to acquire this, acquire that, build this, build that, and trying all sorts of ways to become happy here. And we are not getting happy. There, when you have lost everything, you have become happy. In the deep sleep state. So, that is the indication of the liberated state. Liberation means freedom from everything. Freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego. When you have complete freedom, you are the happy person. That's a liberated state. So, deep sleep state is the explanation for liberation. Dream state is the explanation for creation. Now, coming back to the vacant state, the question he's asking is, who is seeing all these things? All this is just nothing but the condensed form of Upanishad's knowledge. Broken in a few words, that's all. Spoken in a few words. But those who have studied Upanishads in depth, all the 108 Upanishads, and from there that knowledge, what the rishis have given in the Upanishads, that's been summarized to such an extent and presented here. So where he's saying here, who is seeing this? Who is the person who is observing this? One devotee asked Ramana Maharshi this question. He said, why did Krishna create all this world? Why did he do that? Maharshi's answer was very interesting. He says, so that you can ask this question, he said. That was his answer.
So that you will ask this question. You are thinking this is all so real and you are taking it. So you will ask this question. He knows that. He wants that. That is why he has created this question. So, so instead of, he said, asking this question, who has, for what purpose he has created this, ask the question, who is seeing this world? Who is seeing this world? That's more interesting. Because for what purpose he has created? Because creation is not even real. So you are thinking it has been created, but it's not real. That is the point. So you are asking something about which is not even real. So that is actually the real thing is that person who is experiencing it. He is real. The what is created is not real. Who is actually experiencing the world? He is the one who is real. So that should be the question we should be asking. Remember this in third canto of the Bhagavatam, when Srishti happened, when creation happened, what happened there? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will remember this, that Lord Brahma first question asked, who am I? He didn't ask who has created this or what has been created. Kaha, that verse, in the third canto. First verse itself in that chapter. And that is to tell us that the inquiry should be, who am I? Who am I or who is actually experiencing this? That should be the question. What was that verse now? Kaha. I'll find it later. I'll look at it. So that is why it is said that it is anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam means it cannot be explained. It cannot be explained. That which is, indefinable. It cannot be defined. So, so something that cannot be defined, this process, for example, that cannot be defined, how can you understand something that cannot be defined? How can you understand that? For example, dream we can't understand, isn't it? We can't understand the dream. Because initially there was no vikalpam. Vikalpam means there was no thought waves. Then everything popped up in the dream. Just like it popped up in the dream, everything. You were sleeping, went to sleep, and then the dream started. One after the other, everything started popping up in the dream experience. And then a flow of things in the dream. Who controlling all that? No idea. It is coming. It's coming from somewhere. So, in the same experience, we have every night when we go to sleep. When we go to sleep, what happens is, at the time of sleeping, it's all nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam means no vikalpam. You go to sleep. Then the process begins after that. And straight away when you sleep, you don't get the dream. The dream starts after a while. When you go to sleep, you are tired, you close your eyes, and you start sleeping. Then slowly, it pops up. The whole thing pops up. Isn't it? Whole thing pops up then. So, that is why they say, that's called, initial stage is called nirvikalpam. There is no vikalpam. Vikalpam means there is no thought waves, no effect. Then, what happens afterwards? After the dream, probably you go to a deep sleep state, sushupti state. In that deep sleep state, where is the world? And where is the body even? Body is not even there. And where is time? There is no time also. And there is no space either. From the dream state, when you switch on to deep sleep state, body goes away, time goes away, space goes away, and the world also goes away. So, at that point, what do you understand? And when you are in that deep sleep state, whether you sleep here on the floor, whether you sleep at home in the bed,
Whether you sleep in London or America, it's all the same. Isn't it? Nothing has affected the process. Whether you sleep here on that mat, or whether you sleep at home in your bed, whether you sleep in London, whether you sleep in America, it won't make any difference when you are sleeping. That is how much connection you have with the world in the deep sleep. So that process, when it is happening like that, there is no difference at all. That we couldn't say then that only if I sleep here I will get deep sleep. If I sleep at home I won't get deep sleep. Once you can get deep sleep anywhere. If you get the deep sleep, it is immaterial whether you sleep in Watford or London or Manchester or Glasgow, anywhere, it doesn't matter. So there is no gradation there. Whether you sleep here or whether you sleep in London or whether you sleep in Manchester, there is no gradation there. Because once your mind has dissolved in the deep sleep, then in both places are same. Is it not? Once the mind is dissolved, whether it's here or in America or in India, it's the same. It makes no difference, wherever it is. That means no place exists once the mind is dissolved. No place exists. Place has no influence at all. And the time doesn't exist, whether here or America or anywhere. Once you are in the deep sleep state, there's no impact of time. And there's no impact of space either. And how much time it gone, all time has no significance anymore. So, and only when mind pops up, then you say, oh, did I sleep so long? 10 hours or 8 hours or whatever it is. And so, and then at the same time, you become conscious of the time, conscious, oh, I'm sleeping, here am I? You ask that question. So time, space, mind all pops up at the same time. When the mind pops up, time, space pops up and the space also pops up. Space also pops up. That is why this statement here, that in the Maya Kalpita, that from there only these words has come, that Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitra Chitrigridam Vaichitra Chitrigridam. So that means if the mind goes and dissolves, then it is Vaichitram. It is unbelievable thing what goes on there. Because this Vaichitram means this variegatedness, this variegatedness of different experiences in the world is created by the mind. Is created by the mind. Because if mind is not there, it's not there. When the mind comes, what it does is, it brings time and space with it. And with time and space, it creates this variegatedness of the creation to us. And makes us experience that. We start experiencing then, isn't it? That all, then we are become conscious of the time, we have become conscious of the place, we have become conscious of the people. So all kinds of, what they call it as, breaking up. In that oneness, what you experienced in that deep sleep is broken up by the mind in the waking state. Mind does that. That is what it's saying there. That Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitra Chitrigridam. Vaichitra Chitrigridam. It is not possible that with the that when the mind has gone and dissolved, there is nothing there. All these things doesn't exist. Prang nirvigalpam puna. Bijasyandari anguro jagadidam prang nirvigalpam puna. So, time, and then the space, and then what they call as the causation. That associate the cause behind that. And with that, this creation comes to us. This creation comes to us. From where did that pop up? How did that pop up? It creates all this question. And that is where, when people ask this question, why this creation was why it was created. That before that question, we have some other questions. This question comes that who has created, why it has been created. It's at a much later stage. Prior to that, we had no questions in the deep sleep. It's only when the mind popped up, time and space popped up, then came all these questions after that. Is it not? Before that, these questions didn't exist. So that is why when we ask the question also, we have to be a little bit careful at what level this question is coming from, at what stage. Initially, in the deep sleep state, we had no questions. There was no need to question anything. There was Ahankaram was not there, mind wasn't there. And then when you woke up, some Maya is capable of bringing up our mind back. When you come back with the mind, when she comes back with the mind, with that mind brings with the mind, it comes the time and space. When the time and space and the mind has come back, then these questions are coming. Who has created? What purpose it's been created? All the other questions that comes after that. So that is what it says here. That Maya. Maya eva vijrumbida pabi maha yogevaya svechaya. Svechaya. What is the nature of that? Nature is, if you become your attention completely focused on the self, the Atma inside, then you won't experience this, what's happening now. Because then the mind is gone. This experience now, with the mind, time and space, only then you will ask this question, who has created, for what purpose it's been created. But if your attention has fallen on the self, that means if you have realized the self who you are, then you will see if the Shraddha falls on the self, then you will not ask this question anymore. That is why they say in the Vedantam, this question is meaningless. Do you understand now? That everybody asks this question. Why? Who has created? For what purpose it has created? That question is coming because of no self-realized. No, identifying with the body, because of that, these questions are coming. These questions will disappear as soon as your attention falls on the self, and when you know who you are, then these questions will have no meaning. Because it says here that if you give attention to that, if you keep on giving attention to the world, how this came up, how the world came up, and then if you stay like that, what will happen is the same mistake what the modern science is doing will happen to you also. The same mistake what's happening to the modern science will happen to you also. You are trying to go in the understanding of the self. That is what your goal is. Your goal is not understanding the world. But if you keep on hammering on the world, trying to understand who created this, what purpose it's created, you will have the same problem what the modern science has got. So, then what will happen? We go on experimenting. And that is a big trap. It's a huge trap that is, this experimenting business. They don't know that. This requires Brahminical culture. It won't be understood otherwise. Rajogunam and Tamogunam cannot create this understanding. It comes from the most finest understanding of the creation which is in the Upanishads. That's a completely different tradition. Science cannot produce it. Science cannot understand that. So that is the problem. That they may be very intelligent people, but intelligence has no value when it comes to these things. Intelligence has its own limitations. It's finished there. So that is why it's saying there that modern science, that trap, we will get trapped in that. And it is a trap. And then you will start thinking, once you get into that trap, the next thing what you will do is, you will try to understand the Vedic knowledge and all the spiritual topics. You will start experimenting with it. You will go start using the same experimenting process with the Vedic knowledge and with the spiritual matters. You can't experiment with them because it is from Chitta Shuddhi. That is why Krishna said that verse. If you remember, when he started talking about self-realization, First thing he told Arjuna was this, that important verse in the 10th chapter. Anvicheda vishuddhalma dehinam vishayalpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarva arambha vivaryayam, he says. Krishna is saying there, Anvicheda vishuddhalma, you become pure. Vishuddhalma. Vishuddhalma means you have such a high degree of chitta shuddhi. When you have that kind of chitta shuddhi inside, it's so pure inside, then what will happen? Dehinam vishayalpanam. You won't look into the other process. Which process? Dehinam vishayalpanam. Dehinam vishayalpanam means those who have attached to senses, body, mind. These scientists and all that, they are all completely attached to their body. Is it not? They identify with their body. They identify with their mind. And what knowledge can they give it to us? This knowledge is too high for them. They can't handle it. With such a bodily identity and such an identification with the mind and intelligence, what knowledge can it come from that? Krishna is saying here, Anvicheda vishuddhalpa dehinam vishaya alpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambham vivaryayam. Sarvarambham vivaryayam, he says there to Arjuna. To Uddhava. Uddhava, all their efforts are all waste. They can't even come anywhere closer to this understanding. Because they are so much in the mode of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, and also the identification with the body. This is the knowledge of the liberated souls, not the conditioned souls. What we are reading it, that's all it is, and trying to get closer to it, but the fact remains that it is the knowledge of the liberated souls. What can the scientists and the PhDs and all other things, how can he help us in this? It won't. So that is why. So, we will start thinking that by experimenting and research and all that, we could also find out that the truth, spiritual topics and the Vedam, everything. And once you have done that, that means you have been caught up in the trap. You have been trapped in that way. So, the rishis, did not give us these things from the platform of the mind or platform of intelligence. That's one thing. We have to recognize that. They were not personalities from their mental platform or from the intellectual platform. They didn't produce all this. Upanishads didn't come from that. And because they know the mind and the intelligence is very limited. It's very, very limited. So, therefore, whatever you understand with the mind and intelligence, there will always be mistakes in that. There has to be mistakes in that. Whatever you have captured with the mind and intelligence, there has to be mistakes in that. What does the mind say? Mind says, for example, that the sun rises in the morning. It keeps going, isn't it? Is that true? The earth, they're saying it's continuously rotating. Continuously rotating, isn't it? Earth is continuously moving. But they're saying that, no, it's not like that. We have researched and we have found out something. The sun is not moving. The earth is moving. Initially, we thought the earth is stationary. That was the concept before all the science told us these things. Do not go just and jump into the science knowledge and think that's all absolute. Eh? It's never absolute. Imagine some time back, people thought the earth is stationary. The sun rises and sun is moving. That's what we thought before. And then they did this research and experiments and they came out and told us that sun is not moving, earth is rotating and earth is moving. And then sometimes they are saying, if you think about it a little bit more, nothing is moving. Nothing is moving. So, this way the mind and the intelligence has only one job to do, that is to make us running around in this way, not knowing what is the right thing. That means somehow or the other, it is taking your attention away from the reality. Reality is something different than all these things. So when our mind, you can see this, when your mind, intelligence and the senses, when it becomes totally silent, it is at that time the truth will manifest. All the time, these three things are continuously disturbing us. Which one? Mind, intelligence and the and mind, intelligence and the senses. They are constantly disturbing us. When all these three things are totally silent, that is when the knowledge of the self will come. Otherwise it won't happen. In the middle of all these things, it's not going to happen. Upanishads, it says, it's in the Kathopanishad. Yada panchava tishtante. Five senses, mind, Upanishad says this very firmly. Yatha panchavatishtande. When all the five senses and the mind and the intelligence, when it becomes silent, at that point, this truth will manifest. Truth will manifest. It says, you can have a look at it, I don't know where it is. Yamadharma Raja says this to Nachiketas. Panjavatishtante. Yeah, verse 10, the last chapter. Yada panjavatishtante jnanani manasa saha buddhisya na vicheshtati tamahu paramam gadim. That is that verse. The 10th verse in the last chapter. Yada panchavatishtande jnanani manasa saha buddhisya na vicheshtati tamahu paramam gadim. What he is saying is that all the five senses, jnanis, all the five senses, mind and the intelligence, when it does not do anything anymore, that means it's become silent. Na vi cheshtadi, buddhischa na vi cheshtadi, tamahu paramam gedim. That is the time when it happens. So, because mind, intelligence and the senses, these three things, their activities and their movement is what we call as material life. Material existence means that. Is it not? Material existence is that. That the mind, intelligence and the senses and their movement and their activities. This is called material existence. So, bringing them into the silent state. They are not anymore in a moving state. And yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam, they do it through Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, in that way. Ashtanga Yogam does that. Bhakti Yogam does it through chanting, Dhyanam, deity worship, in different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, in that way. Bhakti Yogam does that. Jnana Yogam does it through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and in this way, Bhakti Yogam does it. So, ultimate goal is to bring these three things, mind, intelligence and the senses, into a silent, stable state that it does not vibrate anymore. If they are vibrating, that's called material existence. And this material existence itself is the vibration of those three. Vibration of those three. So, that's what is saying here also, that when, and then, when you realize that truth, what you realize at that point You cannot explain with your mind or intelligence. You see that problem? When the mind, intelligence and the senses, when they have settled down and they are not creating any more hassle, they are not bothering you, disturbing us, at that time the truth inside will manifest. Paramartha Tattvam will come out, shine. And then what you are experiencing at that time, that is not possible to explain through mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence cannot explain that, what you are experiencing there. And that is why it was mentioned there, anirvajaniyam. It cannot be explained by mind. That's why I'm saying, this science and all is still in this trap of the mind, body, intelligence, senses and all that. So that is why he's saying, maya eva vijrambhita pibimaha yogevaya svechaya. Yogevaya svechaya. That cannot be explained by anything. Because what they say there, if you try to explain that to the mind and the intelligence, you will get stuck in that. You will get stuck there. Because you will see so many things, you will see so many things in this creation in different forms, and you won't be able to explain that. In reality, remember this, the Vedantic principle is that there is only one vastu, which is what Bhagavatam says is vastu. That vastu is one. And that vastu is perceived by us in many, perceived as many. So, what we are trying to go back is this perception of many, to lose that and go back to that one again vastu. That is pran nirvikalpam. You remember this 8th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna talks about Om, the letter. Akshara Brahma Yogam. That Om letter has split into three. A, U and Ma. But original letter is Om. From that Om came Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Origin is Om. And as a witness of all these things, when it is split into three, to make us aware of that oneness again, Krishna comes as the Acharya. He comes as the Acharya. What does that mean? It means to make us aware that there is no broken up condition. It's only one thing that is existing. And in order to take our attention or shraddha from the drishya prapancham. Drishya prapancham means the manifested world, to turn the attention towards the drikka, who is seeing this. That is the purpose behind that. So, everything what you are seeing is drishyam. What you see is drishyam. And how you are seeing the drishyam? Drishyam means what you see. How you are seeing the drishyam? You see it with your eyes, isn't it? And how you are seeing that? Because behind the eyes, the mind is there, helping the eyes. And how is the mind operating? Because there is intelligence behind it. And who is giving the intelligence the attention? That witness who is giving the power to the intelligence to operate. Same thing in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani pararahu, indriyepi parammana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastu sa. That's sa. That verse is because Upanishad verse that is. Indriyani pararahu, indriyepi parammana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastu sa. Krishna says here to Arjuna. So the same thing that we experience things, we see things with the senses. Senses are supported by the mind, because without the mind, senses have no meaning. They are just holes in the body. And mind is operating because there is behind and there is an intelligence, and intelligence is operating behind that because of yo buddhe paratastusa, that's all. So, and who is that supporting that? That sakshi, who is in the dream state, for example, in the mind, so many different forms are popping up in the dream state, isn't it? And that's the point when you have to take notice of. When all these things are popping up, who is sitting there and looking at it? All these things in the dream state. Because who is the witness there? That is the soul. Witness is the soul. As I mentioned that, the beauty of the dream state is, unlike in the vacant state, in the dream state, everything is created and I can be separate from the dream and see what is going on, which I can't do in the vacant state. Vacant state, I'm a part of this whole show. Whereas in the dream state, I have independence there, freedom, to stay away from everything, and I can see me, what I'm doing in the dream state. That's the beauty of the dream state. Is it not? Whereas in the vacant state, I'm not able to separate myself from this show. In the dream state, I can precisely move away from the dream and observe the whole dream, what is going on, and see what I am doing there in the dream. Isn't it? So, that is why, that is where this question comes, drik. Who is the drik? That rupam, drishyam, lochanam drik, tad drishyam, druktumanasam. Everything, what is being observed by that person in the dream state, and he does exist. That is what it shows. That's when you know that Jivatma and Paramatma does exist separately. Jivatma and Paramatma does exist separately. As long as you are in the identification with the body. When is Advaitam true? Advaitam is only true in the platform of the soul. Not in the platform of the body, Advaitam is not true. There Dvaitam is true. In the dream state, Dvaitam is true. That's why we say Advaitam is correct, Dvaitam is correct, Vishishtadvaitam is also correct. Everything is correct. But from what level you are looking at it, that is the most important thing. When you are completely realized the truth, there is only Advaitam, there is no Dvaitam, there is no Vishishtadvaitam. But in the other states, Dvaitam exists. You can't deny Dvaitam. That is why there is no quarrel in all these things. You shouldn't ask the question, which one is correct, some people ask. First of all, understand in which level this question is coming from. So, rupam drishyam, lochanam drik, tad drishyam, druktum anasam. So, because you can see in the dream state itself, when you are separate from everything, you are observing yourself doing things, whatever you are doing in the dream, that's an interesting experience, isn't it? In the dream state. But at that time, we don't give attention to all that side of it. We are giving importance to so many other things. And therefore, that person who is observing everything and including me, that person who is observing everything including me in the dream state, he is called Sakshi. He is called Sakshi. It is from that dream state that verse in the Bhagavatam has come. Which one? Suparna Vedo Sadrusho Sakhayam. Remember these two birds sitting on the tree? It is Upanishads, Rishis, they have formulated that verse from this dream state. It's a practical explanation to that verse. It is a Upanishad verse. Dva Suparna Saija Sakhayam. Samana Vrksho Parishasva Jade Tayavaranyam Pippala Swadvati Anashtananyo Abhijaga Shiti. That is the Upanishad verse in the Chandokya. And that verse, Krishna took it and put it in the Ekadasha Skandam, which you will see there in the 11th or 12th chapter. 11.6, yeah. That verse has come from, that is Suparnavedo, yeah, 11.6. Suparnavedo Yadrushav Sakhayav Yadrchayedo Kritanidauja Vrikshay Egastayo Khadadi Pippalanam Anyo Niranobi Belena Bhuyan. Beautiful explanation of the dream state. That verse. In the dream state you are separate. You are doing whatever I am doing, I can see myself. That, oh, this is what he is doing. At that time I am with the other. And there I am able to observe everything what I am doing. Is it not? It's nice to see separately everything. So he's saying there that is the same thing brought into in this form, that there are two birds sitting on the tree. that bird which is on the branch, higher branch, he doesn't do anything. And similarly, this person who is observing everything, he doesn't do anything. The other bird is trying to enjoy everything in this world. Goes and bites one fruit and then it gets bitter, then he gives up, doesn't want to eat. Or he finds some fruit very sweet, so he jumps into another branch to get another sweet. So this bird is doing, the other bird is watching. And that is what the dream state is, what we do. We keep jumping, the dream is coming and I'm a part of that dream. I'm suffering, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm running, the tiger is chasing, elephant is chasing, whatever. All kinds of experience in the dream. And when all this is going on, separately I'm sitting there and watching that. That is the beauty. So, Atmanamanyam jasaveda vidvan abhipalado nadubhipaladaha yo avidyaya yuksadu nityabaddho vidyamayo yasadu nityamuktaham. Next verse in that 11th chapter, 7th verse. Atmanamanyam jasaveda vidvan abhipalado nadubhipaladam yo avidyaya yuksadu nityabaddho vidyamayo yasadu nityamuktaham. So, knowledge and ignorance, that is what makes self-realization or conditioning, whatever that comes from that. So anyway, going back to this, that person who is observing in the dream state, he is not seeing, because he is seeing everything. He is seeing everything. The witness or Sakshi, he is seeing everything. So, and that is Bodham, pure consciousness. That's Krishna. That is Krishna. So, in order to turn our attention towards that, not to the Jiva. Jiva, what can Jiva do? Jiva is suffering all the time. Attention has to go into that who is seeing everything. Not the one out of the two birds. If the attention is all the time on the Jiva, who is eating the fruit and suffering, that's useless. Nothing will happen. But because the separation happens in the dream state, it is easier to understand this. So therefore, creation is an indefinable process or phenomenon, it is. It cannot be explained in that way. Because how will you explain this? In vacant state, it is something you are experiencing. Dream state, something else you are experiencing. Deep sleep, something else is experiencing. So to ask this question that who created this and what for this has been created, you are asking the question, why vacant state, in other words? Or why dream state? Why deep sleep? So therefore, rishis have come up with some answer for all these things. So, and if you try to explain all these things to the world, there will be no end to this. There will be no end to it. Like scientists are trying to explain, isn't it, why world has been created. That's what their goal is now. They're trying to find out why this goal has been created. Two things, how this was created, they want to know. And who has created this, they want to know. And for what purpose they have been created, they want to know, all these three things. And that's why all this experiment is going on. But that won't get anywhere. So, because it is like that, it cannot be explained. Therefore, it is called Maya. Therefore, it's called Maya. Maya means what actually doesn't exist, you start seeing as real. That's Maya's definition. It doesn't exist, but you start seeing it as real. You experience it as real. And like they give the example, because you know at the last minute, when Parikshit had to leave the world, that means when Parikshit was taken out of his body and told that what his realization means, Śuka Brahmarshi gave two examples there, Ghatakasham and Matakasham, is it not? And then he also gave the example that reflection of the sun in the water. Best examples for that. In Vedantam, they are the finest examples to tell us that how this thing is, a sun is there, sun is reflecting in different pots of water. Now, depending on the quality of the water in the pot, the sun's color will change. But at the same time, the sun in the sky is not affected by anything. And once the water gone, that sun doesn't exist anymore, reflected sun doesn't exist. We are all those reflected suns. The original sun is in the sky, or what we call as the Paramatma, Paramatma's original sun. So, in the desert, you are seeing the water. That's called Marimarichika. And when you are looking at a long, far away from distance, you think that there is water there. Mirage, isn't it? Mirage. And when you get closer to that, there is no water there. When you get there where you thought there is water, when you got there is no water there. And when you look back, you think there was water where you left, where you started the journey. You think there is water there. And when you come back here and look here, there is no water here either. There's no water here either. So place where you think there is water, when you go and look there, you find there is no water there. There is no water there. So, similarly, just like you are trying to measure the density of the water, of that water, which doesn't exist, like in the mirage, desert, it is like that this creation is. Creation is like that. but, rishis never said one thing, that this creation or the manifested world is not suitable for vyavaharam. For vyavaharam it is okay. That's what they said. They are not saying that, oh, because it's because it doesn't exist, it's not real, like they compared with the mirage. They are not saying that it is not suitable for vyavaharam. They say it's suitable for vyavaharam, but you should not do vyavaharam in this world thinking that it's all true. That is how it is. If you start doing, because what will happen is, if you start thinking that this is all real and true, then if you do into vyavaharam, what will happen is you will get into a lot of problems here. So always while engaged in vyavaharam in this world, you also have to know that nothing is real in this creation. Therefore, that is the process or the system what the rishis have created. Rishis have formulated the system. Because you can see this, none of the rishis, they never try to perfect our life in this world. Have you noticed that? They never tried to perfect our life in this world because of this reason. They accept that there is that effect of the world on us. So therefore they never rejected, because they accept the effect of the world on us. So therefore they never rejected the world. But they are saying to us, because there is an effect on us, you have to do this vyavaharam with the world. You can't come out of it. Till you realize the truth, that vyavaharam can continue. But once you have realized the truth, you don't need the vyavaharam anymore. That is how they see it. Therefore, rishis processes, all the rishis, when we say rishis are, our Vedic tradition comes from them. It's not one man's started this religion like in other processes, right? It's not one man's business. We have a very high, strong tradition of the rishis, whom you see in the Bhagavadam, and in Krishna pays respects to them. And great personalities have appeared in that tradition at different times, in different places, and they spoke the same truth according to their realization they have spoken and presented to the world. So two things you will find big difference from other religions in this world. In other religions, it's all started by one person at some point in time in the history, number one. Number two, in the Vedic tradition, importance is not given to how many number of people are in the religion, in the system following. The highest importance is given to the knowledge. Knowledge is more important than anything else. Bhakti, karmam, everything is later. The knowledge of the self is given the highest importance, which you will understand when you go through Bhagavatam in detail, when Krishna explained it to Uddhava also, he will say this. But even bhakti, everything, is ultimately to get established in that truth itself. So jnanam is the highest from the Vedic point of view. So you can see here that Rishi, none of the Rishis, look at their life, how they lived. They went to the forest, built up some cottage somewhere in the forest, near a river bank, so that they didn't have to go on looking for water even. Somewhere near a river bank, they established their ashram or parnashala, they call it, that because it was made of leaves and the branches of tree. Never spent time in building houses. They never had any housing problem. They never, like we have so many problems here. They didn't have any of those problems. Their houses were so simple. They lived there and they never tried, they didn't try to make their life in this world perfect. Perfect means like the way we are trying to do. We try to make it as perfect as we can, isn't it? And all kinds of, we invented all kinds of equipments and what do they call the different tools to make life as comfortable and perfect as possible. For everything, we have developed a machine, one machine or the other, and then got caught up in that machine, fixing it, repairing it, running here, running there, after that. Everything in life, so mechanical we have in everything. Look at the Rishis, you think they lacked intelligence? They didn't even look in that direction. Because of their purity and higher understanding of life, they did not bother about worrying about all these things. They thought that let us manage it in the simplest possible way, as far as the living in this world is concerned. So these Rishis, who are thinking in such depth, in such a depth, you think they could not have developed this machinery or this kind of tools what we have got now, all kinds of gadgets what we have got to make life perfect. Sometimes when you sit down and think about it yourself, you laugh at it, the whole thing. You, for comfort, you invent one thing. And that has got some problem, so you invent another thing to fix this machine. And because that has got some problem, another one. Follow that. Like that, when you look at the table, full of gadgets lying there. One box here, one box there. And then for each one of them, to charge them, there is a line and a, and a thing. And then these few things, 10 of them lying there in the room. And in the middle of all that, like the spider sitting in the web, you are sitting there. This is our great brain. What it has done. You go to some places, it's awful to watch that. Full of these lying everywhere, cables and this and that, everything. And then all kinds of gadgets around. And you take and look at this, every moment they are creating something new. Or you need this to run that, they say. So some, like this. And between government and the technology, they are constantly fighting each other. Government wants to squeeze out the money. Technology finds ways to get out of not paying it. So all these, if you observe yourself, you can see. And when you work in the modern offices, it's much more, you can know these things. In big engineering offices, for example, if you go and see there, they have a whole department constantly monitoring what is available new in the market to make the life easier for you, to improve your quality of the work. And it gets such a, it really pain it is. And these Rishis who could think in such deeper level, they didn't bother to go in that direction. They thought it's a total waste of time because they know very well that this is not true. What's the point in wasting time with this? They wanted the truth. What is real? That's what they are looking for. They have found out in the early stages itself, this is not real. And then trying to fix this doesn't make any sense to them. So, you can see this in the Ramayanam, our mind, how it works. So I mentioned this also, Ramachandra and Lakshmana and Sita Devi, they went to the forest. So Bharadwaja Maharshi was in the ashram, in his ashram in the forest. And Bharada decided to go and see Ramachandra. Ramachandra tried to bring Ramachandra back, Ramachandra wouldn't go back. So Bharada goes to see Ramachandra into the forest to try to invite him to come back. So he goes to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram and Bharadwaja Maharshi, and when Bharada gone, all the people who lived in Ayodhya, they followed him. They followed him. And when they all got there to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, Bharadwaja was not panicking. So many people had come. How do I look after them? He didn't think like that. But he arranged amazing a feast for them. Yoga Siddhi. That is what he's saying here. Yoga Vaya Swachaya. He could do that. Yogishvara. He has got all the yogic powers in him. Bharadwaja is a famous sage. He's one of the rishis. So, after they had that meal, those who had come with Bharata, they are saying to each other that we didn't know that there was a place like this here who gave such nice feast. They are saying to each other, they have come to go and see Ramachandra. Now Ramachandra has gone. They are saying each other that we didn't realize that there was an ashram here like this which gave us such fantastic prasadam in this way. He said, then they are saying, now we don't want to go back to Ayodhya. We will stay here because everything is here. Why do we have to go back to Ayodhya? Everything is provided here. Bharadwaja Maharshi has created a beautiful palace for them to have prasadam out of his yogic power. And the women, apsaras women from the heavenly planets had come to serve the prasadam. And the prasadam, you don't have to discuss the quality of the prasadam. Pure deshi ghee, everything. It was so good that after eating the prasadam, they are saying that we don't want to go back to Ayodhya. And we don't want to go and see Ramachandra either. Both ideas have gone from them. In the Ramayanam, Valmiki is making fun of these people. He says, this is the type of people we are. He says like that. So, let us live here. And then what happened? After they had the prasadam and they had the rest, everything disappeared. Everything disappeared. And only then they realized it, they are in the forest. They didn't know that. So, this Bharadwaja Maharshi, who is capable of doing this, if you look at him, what is his dress? He has got only one loin cloth like thing made of some deer skin or something. His body is so slim because doesn't have any proper diet in that way, that he is not eating to, he is not living to eat. He only eats a very bare minimum to maintain that body, and he had no facilities in his ashram. A person who can create all these things is living like that. What does that mean? That means that if they wanted, they could do better than us in all these things, what we are doing. But they didn't do it. They followed the other path. So he lives in a cottage and he sits on a wooden plank. And such a powerful rishi, why is he living like this? Such a powerful rishi who could feed the whole Ayodhya, people from Ayodhya, with such a nice feast and a place to rest. Why does he live like this, in this way? Because they know very well. What is that? Externally, anything you build up, outwardly, anything you build up, the happiness has to come not from that, it has to come from the center inside. They were fully aware of that, the rishis. That is why they have been given that highest position in the Vedic system. Because they know the real happiness will not come from the world. It can never come. It will never come from the world outside. Whatever you may do, it's all peripheral. On the periphery, you are doing so many things. Like all the cables, all the fittings, all the gadgets. And it's all on the periphery, isn't it? All on the periphery. You buy the best, most posh car and park it in your garage and looking at it, thinking that you got the best. It has got its own problems. It will come up in its own time. And except that you can keep on adding to it, your miseries have not gone away. Your problems have not gone away. And you also know that from those things alone, happiness won't come. Proper happiness won't come from that. Everything is periphery. And and that is the reason why they say this is all a magic. It is a magic. Whatever improvement you make, So whatever improvement you do it to this, what is there, then whatever you may call it, still it doesn't seem to work. Is it not? It doesn't seem to work. Whatever changes you make here, whatever modifications you do, whatever improvements you try to make our life in this world, there's something in the life doesn't give you any satisfaction from that. No happiness in it at the end of the day. But then finally what you do? Oh, somehow let me survive here. You come to that conclusion. To try to make it perfect does not work. We all know that from our own life in this world. And then you can see that because it's not perfect, then they start all the discussions, meetings, and one man is running from America to Europe, another one is running from Europe to America to discuss and find a solution, this problem, that problem. Never any solution to any problem. Every time problem gets worse, it never gets anywhere at the end. What is the reason? The reason is this, that you have given importance to something which is controlled by two things called time and space. Time and space is the thing that is keeping this whole thing importance for us. We feel importance for that. But it is controlled by time and space. It's controlled by time and space. And you are giving importance to that. Because time and space is actually inside us. It's not outside. It's inside us. We feel the time. Suppose you don't think about the time. Is anybody going to come and ask you that why you're not bothered about the time? Because in his inside there is time. And in your inside there is time. So the other person comes and asks you, why did you not come on time? Or you can ask him the same thing. Is it not? So basically you can see, the time is a thing that is in people's mind. Otherwise where is time here? What time? And the same thing with the space also. Isn't it? So time and space is within ourselves. Time and space is within ourselves. That is why in the realized stage we say all the time is now and all the space is here. Which means there is no time, there is no space. Whenever you say all the time is here now and all the space is here, where is the time? You see, in your spiritual identity on the soul, there is no time. Soul has no time. Who created this time then? Why we get so affected by the time? Soul has no time. Soul has no time. That means in Swarupam, our spiritual identity, there is no time. And similarly, realized soul who are experiencing the bliss of the soul, they don't have time. They are not controlled by time. So because your mind is trapped, because your mind is trapped in the time, your awareness is also trapped. Your awareness is trapped by mind. You will always be conscious of time. Because your time mind is trapped, your awareness is trapped by the mind, and you will always be conscious of time. That is how it is. You'll always be conscious of time. So, in my awareness, pure awareness of my pure spiritual identity, only when the mind pops up, and which means chittavritti. When chittavritti comes, it is at that time time comes. Time comes at that time. Is it not? Otherwise, where is time? We never understand, we never think in those directions. Always we are thinking, oh, time. Always frightened about the time. Something you have to do this, you have to do that, it has to be on time every time. This way it has been drilled into us from the early age itself, so it has become our identity now, the time. And in everything in life, you can see how time is the important factor. Is it not? the government works with the time, the society expects on time. Rishis did not give importance via the time. That is why India is like that. Rishis didn't give importance to the time. That is why in India nobody looks at the watch. That is the reason. People ask this question all the time when they come to India. People are not, they say, we'll see you in the morning, say 9 o'clock, we'll come at 12. Says it was in the morning. And we get upset, agitated. So you don't keep the time. Then we make joke of it, isn't it? But the reason is, in their deep psyche, this is the fact, that it was not important for them. You are making so many things important in life, what can we do about it? That's their attitude. And often we get into problems because of this. So in Sushupti state, when you are in your now a lot of people are also trying to say that in India we have to make people very time conscious. They're saying like that, and they're trying very hard to do that, but somehow it's not happening. When you're trying to do it in the cities, people think in the villages, they are thinking the cities people are crazy. They are busy with their time, so let them do it. Village are so relaxed, they are still thinking like that. But we say village also should change now. So its whole madness is working there. Anyway, so in Sushupti state, when you are completely in this platform of self, there is no time, is there? There's no time. In Sushupti, where is the time? So, as soon as you wake up, what happens? Time comes, isn't it? Thoughts comes. And that thoughts which comes at the time of waking up, in Shastram they call it as Khanda Samvit. Khanda Samvit. Khanda Samvit means that when the thoughts comes, that is when time comes, space comes, and all other activities comes after that. So what the experience you had in that deep sleep state, without time, without space, completely in the bliss of the soul, what you are experiencing continuously, because there is no interruption there, you are continuously experiencing that. That has been broken now in the vacant state. Is it not? It's been broken by the thoughts. And when you wake up, and that is called Khanda Samvit. So, because thoughts are coming and they break it, and that's called Khandanam. Khandanam means that. Khandanam means to break it, that Shanti or the bliss what you have been experiencing. And that is when time is born. When it breaks, thoughts comes and breaks it, that's when time is born, space is born at that time. Then so many important things, it starts squeezing you out in different ways. And that time, it continuously squeezing out, and that is called the grip of the waking state. Grip of the waking state. That is what he is saying here also. That you read that, see that? Maya kalpita desha kala kalana Vaichitra Chitri Kritam. Vaichitra Chitri Kritam. That is what it is. The arrival of the vacant state in us. When the vacant state comes in the morning, how it catches us and puts us into the grip of time and space and keeps us under the control of time and space. Because as soon as you woken up, you have fallen into this time and space. And that is what those two words mean. Maya kalpidam. Look at each word carefully. Maya kalpidam. Which one? It is Maya's children. Who? Desham and Kalam. Maya kalpidam it is. Maya has created those two. Desham and Kalam. Time and space. Space and time. Desham is space, Kalam is time. Maya kalpidam desha kala kalana. It is its creation, it is. And what it does do? Vaijitra chitrigridam. In that Vaijitra chitrigridam means this. that you wake up in the morning and the vacant state gets you into its grip. And those two things with which it holds you, that is that time and space. Finish there, everything. Vajitra Chitigalam. So it is at that time that you come to aware of this creation, is it not? This manifested world. Otherwise it is not in your self. It doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist in the self. It only exists in the morning when you wake up and when the vacant state has brought you under the grip of time and space. That is when you experience the world. Otherwise, where is the world? The world doesn't exist, isn't it? So, therefore what they say is, it is standing in front of you in this form and you are experiencing that. So, it is only worthwhile for vyavaharam, but not for shelter. That they should call it as vyavahara yogyam, but not ashraya yogyam. That's what the word. Vyavahara yogyam. It is worthwhile for vyavaharam. That's all. But you can't take shelter of this world. That is the most important thing. This is an important principle. Why we should not get involved in the world for this reason? Because if you take, first of all, the whole thing is in the vacant state. It exists. And in that vacant state, if you go and take shelter of this, it becomes vyavaharam it is. And it is only vyavaharam you can do it, but not for ashrayam. Remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto is called ashrayam. And there specifically mentions, world is not for ashrayam, world is for vyavaharam. It is vyavahara yogyam, it is not for ashraya yogyam. And this difference, we have to be extremely clear inside for spiritual life. It is important to know this. That if you start taking the world seriously and start thinking that is where my spiritual life is, this, that and the other, and you build up your spiritual life centered around this world, that spiritual life will collapse one day. It won't work. World is not for shelter. World is only for vyavaharam. Because it is there, we have to do something with it. That is how far you need this world. Because it's there, we have to do something with it. It is affecting us, so we have to do something. And doing and dealing with it is called vyavaharam. Without allowing that to disturb us. It is not ashraya yogyam. That is why in the Bhagavatam, that 12th canto is called ashrayam. Ashrayam is Krishna. When we say Krishna, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade, you can take any three of them. All three, that is ashrayam, not world. World is not ashrayam. World is for vyavaharam. Ashrayam, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. So, ashrayam, we should never take shelter of the world. Only for vyavaharam it is, but never to take shelter. Ashrayam is always the truth. Only truth one should take shelter. One should take the shelter. Remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, began with Satyambaram Dhimahi, isn't it? First verse itself is Satyambaram Dhimahi. In the middle of Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma came to glorify Krishna at the time of appearance. Garbhastuti, it is called. Satyavradam, Satyabaram, Trisatyam. Satyasya Satyam, Nihidanja Satye. Satyasya Satyam Hradasatya Netram Satyal Magantuam Sharanam Prapannaha. That was the first words Brahma and the demigods spoke when they saw Krishna. What did they mean by that? This is what they meant. That these created things is not the one for shelter. You are the shelter. Krishna is the shelter. To confirm that, that is what that they, instead of using the word Krishna there, they said, that personality who has appeared here, he is the shelter. Our problem is, we take shelter of the world and we do vyavaharam with Krishna. Exactly opposite. That's what the world does, is it not? World does vyavaharam with Krishna and shelter in the... When I say world, the majority of the people, because of the misunderstanding, they feel shelter in the world. Therefore, we will always try to make the life in the world secure. That's not possible anytime. It's not possible. It is only for vyavaharam. Whatever here we have, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, mother, father, whoever it may be, we have some vyavaharam with them. We have to finish that vyavaharam and go from here. But shelter always has to be satyam. Satyavradam satyaparam trasatyam. Satyasya satyam nihidanja satye. Satyasya yonim khada satya netram. Satya almagam tuam sharanam prabannaha. Lord Brahma says here, I take complete shelter of that satyam. And he explains that satyam, what that satyam means in that verse. So, satyasya satyam khada satya netram. Remember that word. Satyasya satyam khada satya netram. That means, Brahma, when he glorifies, he says, why do we feel this world is real? He's saying, explaining that here, there. We feel this world is real, real. Why do we feel that? Not because it's real, but there is somebody who has gone and made this world real, make feeling to us. Somebody else is present there who making us feel that it is real. Because this satyam which is lying here has made us feel that this satyam is real. That is how it is. That is what he is saying that. Brahma is used, look at the words. Satyasya satyam hrita satya netram. That's the word in the Bhagavatam. If you look into the 10th canto, I think it's in the 3rd chapter probably. 10.3. You will see that. Everything very selected, carefully selected words. Satyasya satyam hrita satya netram. Then actually it is not true. But why do we feel it is true? This world is true. He makes it feel that. It is his presence in us that is making this world true. Krishna's presence inside us makes us feel that this world is true. If Krishna pulls out from inside, that world is not there anymore for us. It's not true. Very clear understanding. Satyasya satyam hrita satya netram. Satya alpagam tuam sharanam prapannaha. So, Brahma, knowing this very well, you have to remember that when Brahma is saying something, it will have the highest weight in that. Isn't it? Brahma Studi in the Bhagavatam is famous for that. So, because Brahma is saying there, it is not this is true, he is saying. But this satyam inside me is making that true. Making that true. So, because creation is not real, but this satyam inside me is making that real. Is making that real. And this thing inside me, with whomever it makes contact, that will also become truth. That will also become truth. That's the beauty of this thing inside. This satyam what is inside, if it makes contact with anything else, it becomes real. It becomes real. For example, this mic is not real. Mic is not real. There's a lot, the scientists are funny sometimes. They keep saying so many things, they give explanation to it. And some other explanations are so meaningless. They keep saying that there's electron, proton, neutron, this, that and the other. Shastram says there is no electron, there is no proton, neutron. This is completely based on the matter they are saying all these things. So, this mic is existing. Why it is existing? Because inside me, Krishna who is present there, he makes this a reality. Because of me making contact, this Atma inside, making contact with this, this has become real. Otherwise this is not real. It's not due to electron, proton, neutron that this has become real. This has become real because inside me, the presence of Atma inside, he gives the reality to this. And like anything else in this world, everything is real because of the presence of that inside. So, that is why he mentions here, wherever I put this inside, if it goes and makes something real, it will become real to me. Like everybody else in this room, they're all real to me. Why? Because he is inside this, who makes everybody real. to me. Everybody real to me. So, so this Satyam inside, which gives the truth to everything else, that is what that word means. Satyasya Satyam Hrita Satya Netram. Hrita Satya Netram, that is. What does Hrita mean? Hrita means false. Say, if Hrita Satya Netram, Hrita becomes a Satyam due to the effect of this, Atma inside. Atma inside. Vedantam is different than science. Science won't tell you any of these things. Science is saying to you, it's just the opposite of Vedantam. That, and that is why they don't understand what Vedantam is saying also. They can't understand. They come with their research laboratory and all that. So inside, he gives the reality to another object. It is not the object is true. Table is not true. Mic is not true. None of them is true. Only when Atma is in contact with that, Atma gives a reality to this. Atma gives the reality to that. So therefore, that is why that word Satyasya Satyam. See what Brahma says? Satyasya Satyam. What gives Satyam to everything? Satyasya Satyam. And Satyasya Satyam is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is like that. Satyasya Satyam. And similarly, you may say that, okay, whatever you are saying, nothing is true. Only when the Atma accepts that, it is true. Otherwise, it's not. Only when the Atma is registering that, it is then it is true. Otherwise, it's not true. So, then the question will come that Prarabdham, for example. Prarabdha karma. That we are experiencing in life, isn't it? In different ways. You may say that, is Prarabdha karma satyam? Is it true? So, for example, you can say that you had you had some struggle, different problems in life in some ways, whatever it may be. Health problems or, you know, other problems, whatever, different kinds of problems are there. Are they all real? We say it is Prarabdham, isn't it? And we have to suffer from that. We are suffering from that. Why do we suffer from that? Because Atma inside saying that it is Satyam. That is why we are accepting that. So, whatever that Satyam inside is saying is Satyam, it will become Satyam. That's the nature of that. So, if you bring the power of this Satyam inside, and if you put it on anything, that will become Satyam. I don't know whether you got this. That when Brahma said this, that verse is so famous. Which one? That verse in the Bhagavadam, in the third chapter, in the second chapter, 26. Satyavradam Satyavaram Trisatyam Satyasya Yonim Nihidam Jasatye Satyasya Satyam Hrida Satyanetram Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Prabannaha. When Brahma came this time, in all other incarnations also there is Brahma Stuti. Brahma prays. When in every incarnations, it is the first thing Brahma has to do. He has to come and glorify, and then he will go back with the demigods. He will go back. But when Krishnavataram happened, Brahma thought before he came, it has to be the very best prayers. And that's why he started with this famous verse. And if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, This is the verse that comes right in the middle of Bhagavatam. If you take all the 18,000 verses, and if you see the right in the middle of Bhagavatam, this verse comes. Satyavratam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam. And if you see Sridhara Swami's explanations on this verse, and also other great personalities, it is unbelievable the kinds of things they brought into this verse, particularly from the Upanishads. Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything is there in that verse. That's the greatness of that verse. Satyavratam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Ja Satye, Satyasya Satyam, Hrata Satya Netram, Satyalpadam Tvam Sharanam Prabhanaha. For us, when we read it, a lot of Satyam, 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 Satyam. Nothing more than that. For Brahma, it means a lot. Brahma is saying this, that the nature of the Satyam is, if you take this Satyam and put it on anything else, this Satyam inside, that becomes a Satyam. That is the beauty of this Satyam. This Satyam gives, Satyam means, you know what I'm saying, Satyam means that it makes real, anything real. Like this world is become real because this Satyam is accepting that as real. If this Satyam does not accept, the world is not real. Now, why it makes us feel it is real? Because of the Satyam is saying to us it's real. So, and what will happen is, if you take this power of this Satyam, if you go and put it on everything else in this world, you will start believing that and you will go and get stuck in that. That's the problem with this Satyam. And you will become a slave of that. You'll become a slave of that. So, so this inexplicable truth or phenomenon is experienced purely in the truth inside, in the truth inside only. And to turn our attention, because the problem is, this Satyam makes everything else Satyam. And if you start thinking everything is Satyam, because this Satyam is doing this. The Satyam inside is doing, make us feel that everything else is Satyam. Now, if you go and put your faith in all those things, and you start thinking they're all Satyam, then you will get stuck in that Satyam. So, to turn our attention from that towards inside, and to go to the real Satyam who creates all these things, who creates this feeling in us, that is where our attention has to be. That's what Brahma is saying there. That thing inside here, Krishna is present inside, and therefore addressing Krishna, Brahma is saying to him that Satyasya Satyam Hrita Satya Netram, that you are the one who makes those things real. They on their own are not real. You give the validity to all these things. So, that is why this explanation here, that is why this explanation also here, in these prayers. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vai chitra chitri kridam. To say that Maya with its desham and kalam creates this world and you use your power of Satyam, put it on that and start thinking it's all Satyam, which is not. That's the important principle. And nothing else. So that Satyam, where should we experience the real Satyam then? What you are experiencing is a false Satyam there. Because it starts appearing to us as though it is Satyam, because this Satyam has made contact with that. Therefore, it appears to us as though it is Satyam. In reality, it is not Satyam. That's what it is. So, that Satyam, where do we have to experience? That is when the next verse comes. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakasmata kalpartagam bhashate sakshat tattvamasi veda vachasa yobhodhyaya dashridam yak sakshat karanda bhavani karanad bhavani vena punara punaravrtir bhavambho nidhau Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Third verse. Yasei Vaspuranam Sadalmagasada Kalpartagam Bhashate Saksha Tatumasidi Veda Vajasa Yobhodeya Ashridan Yat Sakshan Karana Pavena Punara Punaravittirbhavambho Nidhau Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. So, where will you experience that Satyam? How to experience that Satyam? That is the question here. And this verse is saying, Yasyaiva, by whom, by whose, that means that Satyam or Krishna, by whose, you can also say Dakshinamurti, whichever way you call that. That Dakshinamurti's presence inside, or Krishna's presence inside, Vastu is same. We are giving different names, Dakshinamurti, Krishna, whichever way you address that, the Vastu is the same. So, when that Spurana means that is emitting from that, the awareness, Bodham Surubam, that is, when that is aware, emitting from that, when that is not experienced in us, and in the form of experience level, for example, now we are studying Shastram, and Shastram is telling us a completely different understanding of the truth, isn't it? It's giving us an understanding of the truth. But in experience level, it's not coming. It's not happening to us. Because why? Because of the vacant state, mind, body, intelligence, senses, and in their grip. We are in the grip of that. Therefore, whatever Shastram is saying, in our experience level, it's not happening. That's our main problem, isn't it? So, it appears to us that in Anubhava Rupam means experience level, it is not happening. It only remains as a Pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means that we are able to accept it, it is spoken in the Shastram, and some semblance of that in the world, we realize it, that there is a truth behind it, behind all these things. It's called a semblance. Of that is this world. But, and that semblance is all sensual. Because, for example, this world we are accepting as a truth. Why? Because the Atma inside is acknowledging that as a truth. Therefore, it appears as though it's a truth to us at the moment. And that thing also is accepted as a truth only through the senses. Because through senses you are experiencing the world and you are accepting that as a truth. So that is when we have to understand what does experience means and what Pratibhasam means. Pratibhasam and Anubhavam, two words, they are different, completely different. So Pratibhasam means on its own it has no existence. On its own it has no existence. What is called in the Bhagavatam is the word Satta. Satta. Devaki Devi used that word. Satta matram nirvishesham niriham. Devaki Devi says this in the Bhagavatam. Satta. Satta is not there in this. There is no Satta. Satta means it has no essence. It has no essence. It doesn't have any substance to support that. It exists. It comes and it goes. But it doesn't have any meaning to that. For example, I am sitting now, seeing a few people here. All of you are, to me, it is Pratibhasam. I am seeing you, that's all. I don't know anything more than that. I am just seeing few people sitting here. Similarly, for you all, I am only a Pratibhasam. I am sitting here, that's all you know about me, isn't it? So similarly, for me, in my experience level, you are not there. In your experience level, I am not there. There's a big difference in anubhavam and pratibhasam. So, to me, to know that you are existing here, either I have to see you through my eyes, otherwise, if I close my eyes, I have to hear your sound. This is only way, that means only through senses I can know about you. There's no other way I can experience you. I won't know about your existence unless I have my senses activated. Seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, whichever way it is. So, so, just like if there is a flower, I have to smell. I have to smell the flower. Or I have to touch the flower. And only through some senses, only through senses only, you can experience pratibhasam. That's why it's called like that, pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means it is abhasam and abhasam becomes pratibhasam. That means it is experienced through only through the senses. Otherwise, the other option is I can imagine through my mind about somebody or some form, yeah, and feel somebody's presence in, say somebody comes to the other room, I hear the sound from there, then I can guess in my mind that somebody is in that room, isn't it? And, or feel the presence of that person. So, even then, the mind is involved. Here, the senses are involved. If I want to hear something from there, my mind will have to be involved in that. Only so mind is also another sense in that way. That's why mind is called the sixth sense. Isn't it? Or andhakaranam. It's a karanam. Karanam means sense. Mind is called andhakaranam. Andhakaranam. So, so, in order to see this pratibhasam, we call this as pratibhasam. Everybody is pratibhasam for us. In order to see this pratibhasam, or in order to experience that pratibhasam, or to guess or imagine that in our mind, we need time, isn't it? It needs time. It needs time. A little time is necessary. For example, if I open my eyes, say I close my eyes, I open my eyes, I see you all, and then to register that in me, it takes a few seconds or a few moments. Time is necessary. Only with the help of the time, I can acknowledge your presence here, or acknowledge the presence of somebody there. Only with the help of time. Time is a part of that. Is it not? Time is a part of that. It needs time. So, any knowledge which comes to you with time can never be real. You know why we are saying all these things? You may think why I am making this thing big issue. The reason is this. The effect of the soul and the effect of our mind is totally different when you start analyzing it. This is why I'm saying this. That when you start analyzing through the mind, the experience of that is through time. Is through time. For anything for that matter is through time. Everything what we are achieving, acquiring in this world is all through the time. And everything that comes through the time can never be real. Can never be real. It's a very fine line there separating from the experience of the soul and experience of the mind. If you are experiencing it immediately means all the time without any time gap, then it is real. Then it is real. That is why we say nothing else is real except the soul. Except the soul. So, right at this moment in time, right at the immediate experience it has to be. Immediate experience. Even if I look at somebody and I have to experience that person in me, it takes a short time. A very, very small amount of time without which it will not happen. Whereas inside presence of the soul is continuous. It doesn't require any time that the soul exists to prove that, to experience that. So when it comes to experience level, you can see the problem. Everything else which brings in with the help of time is unreal, and everything else what is experienced immediately is real. Immediately is real. So, therefore, pratibhasam, that is why that difference. Pratibhasam, if you are experiencing any pratibhasam, it requires time. Whereas for anubhavam, it doesn't require time. I don't know whether I got the message through. It is something you have to look, think about it a little bit more. You know, because we are so much conditioned by the by our normal existence in this world. We think that everything is same. Everything is not same. That's the first point I'm making. Everything is not same. When we are looking at things, there is a small time influence in all these things. Look at the sun, look at the moon, and then, and that's why, you know, long distances, even in the science, they call it as light years. In terms of time, they try to, because there is, they say the sun rays, what we are now experiencing, if you are experiencing sun ray here, that ray must have left the sun so many minutes or hours before, by the time it gets here, is it not? So, because it is pratibhasam, all this is pratibhasam. Any pratibhasam, in order to come to experience level, it takes time. And because pratibhasam takes time to come to experience level, it is called unreal. Remember, when Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nasado vidyade bhavo na bhav, that verse, if you start looking into it, the depth of that verse, Krishna is saying to us, sat and asat difference in that verse, isn't it? Nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha ubayor avi drishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshibi. Who is the tattvadarshi? The rishis. They are the tattvadarshi. They are saying that anything asat, why we call the whole world is asat? Because to experience that world in us, it's taking time. There is time involved with that. Otherwise, I won't experience it. Instead, if you take the sat inside, which is alma, the soul, awareness, I don't need time. It's continuously telling me it's there, it's there, it's there. Awareness is all the time. And that is awareness, what we are experiencing there, isn't it? So that time is a factor there, and there that means the time is a intermediary equipment. Without time, I cannot experience the world. Without time, I can't experience. That means time is a intermediary thing between me, my experience, and the object. And the object. And Atma, take for example Atma. Now, when this is called pratibhasam. So, whenever you want to bring pratibhasam into anubhavam, between pratibhasam and anubhavam, the bridge is time. Time is the bridge between pratibhasam and anubhavam. And there you require intelligence, mind and senses. Intelligence, mind and senses. But here, when it comes to anubhavam alone, which we are experiencing inside as the soul, pure awareness, it doesn't require mind, intelligence, senses, and it doesn't require time. You got that? It doesn't require mind, intelligence and senses, because this awareness inside, I am, it's not in the mind, it's not in the intelligence. It is an experience, it is. Just as important thing is, how important that experience is, to establish that. So that awareness, that is, in Shastram they call it as Swatvam. Swatvam means that's what you are. That, and that Swatvam, in the Bhagavatam you will see this coming in different words used there. Spurana. Spurana in what is his name? That king who spoke to Mujugunda Stuti, prayers. Mujugunda mentions this. Nyapti. He uses the word Nyapti. Nyapti. Pipalayana Maharshi uses the same word. So, whatever word they may use, Spurana, Nyapti, and whatever they, Prajna, another word for that, whatever they may use, the difference with that and our experience of the Pratibhasam is, in Anubhavam level, Anubhavam is the quality of this Nyapti, Prajna or Spurana, whatever the word used. Yasseiva Spuranam. That is why Acharya Swami mentions that word straight away in the beginning of that third verse. Yasseiva Spuranam Sadalpagamashat Kalpārthakam Bhāṣate Sākṣāl Tattvamasīdi Vedavajasa Yo Bhodhyada Bhodhyadāyāśridam. That. So, Yasseiva Spuranam. He starts with that word Spurana. Spurana. Spurana is only for Satta. Only Satta has Spurana. Other things have no Spurana. How fine that understanding is. Think about it. Only then you will appreciate that. How fine that understanding is. Fine means it's so fine that he, how their thought process is. Rishi's thoughts, I'm saying. Rishis are saying, if I look at an object, and that object, how I am perceiving, is different than the way I am perceiving myself. To that extent, they are fine understanding inside. The sharpness of their realization, that's what you can see there. When you are seeing something, you are seeing, to experience this is taking time. So there is not the same as the way I am experiencing myself. Experiencing me inside me, my own awareness, doesn't require time because that's what I am. That awareness is me. So that's why he used this word Spurana there. Spurana. Spurana means yasseiva Spuranam. These things cannot have Spurana. Spurana will only have for the Satta inside. Satta means the soul inside. And because it is Atma, is Swayam Prakasha Vastu. Swayam Prakasha Vastu means on its own it can make you aware of it. I don't know whether you are getting the point. I can only express the capacity what I have got. That this doesn't require any media to tell us that it is existing. All the time you are conscious of its existence. Because if it was not so, you won't say that you are existing. You can only, because it's always there in you, that you're always aware of your own existence, isn't it? Which never leaves you in vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, in all the states. So what rishis have done, they found out that there is a big difference between that Atma inside and this manifested world. Whereas in the science world, it's a difference. For science, everything is same. Put the binoculars and start looking, and they keep estimating. That fineness is not there. In the depth of understanding, what the Vedam and Upanishads are saying, it is not there in the science. You will only see this in the Upanishads. You will only see how the rishis were finer, so fine in their the sharpness in their realizations, that they were able to see this difference. Nobody will notice this normally, would they? That for us, everything what we see with the eyes is the truth. Everything we see through the... If we get it through the telescope and get a picture, yeah, here it is, the proof, we say. This is what the proof. And the Shastram says, what proof? Because your camera is not of truth itself.
then your picture is not the truth. Nothing is the truth as far as science is concerned. Shastram is concerned. Shastram rejects all these things. Shastram makes it so precise and says to us, and when you see, if you have got this point, you can see the precision in that thought, in their thoughts. They're saying, Esaiva Spurana. Then, you don't have to use any mind, senses or intelligence or time. None of these plays any role in making yourself your awareness. Awareness is always there all the time. So all these things we come to know because of that awareness inside. Yasyaiva, that's what he's saying there. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam ashata kalpārthakam bhāṣate. So, because this spurana, remember, when Brahma said, satyasya satyam hrita satya netram, that's the same thing is coming here. He's saying here, that spurana that is coming from him, that awareness, that is giving astitvam. Astitvam means existence to everything else in this world. Same what Brahma said, Ajari Swami is repeating here in a different way. He's saying that yasyaiva spuranam sad atma masata kalpārthakam bhāṣate. That's what that is. This satyeva satyasya satyam hṛta-satya netram, Brahma said, that same principle is the same, is coming through these words. He's saying here that because this purana inside, he is holding the satyam. He is holding the satyam. And that is what is present in all of us. I am existing. That does not go, that cannot be taken out from me. You can kill my body. You can kill my everything else, whatever I got. Take it away, everything from me. But you won't be taking that thing away from me. My existence. My awareness of my existence, that you can't take it away from me. That is what importance here. That is the difference between that and the pratibhasam. Pratibhasam. For example, if you ask me, somebody asking me, do you exist? I don't have to think whether I exist or not. Is it not? I don't have to think. That question itself is, as far as I am concerned, is irrelevant. Because you can never say, deny my existence under any circumstance. You can deny my existence of the body, mind, even intelligence, ego, senses, everything. But my existence, awareness of the existence of awareness, that you can't deny. So here, so that is why it says here that I don't have to think before I answer that I exist. I don't have to answer that question, isn't it? Or I don't have to touch myself and say, do I exist or not? I don't answer that way. So you can see, my existence is actually my experience. That is the real experience. And experience is the nature of this awareness. Experience is the nature of the awareness. So, and that is why you remember in the Bhagavatam, some verses are like that. Vadandi tat tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam advayam. There it says, Advaya jnanam advayam. What is Advaya jnanam? Advaya jnanam is experience. Vadandi tat tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is experience. Do you know what I mean? Advaya jnanam is experience. That means you are completely aware of who you are, pure. Now we don't know because of the bodily identity. But once you know who you are, or realize the self properly, you have realized who you are, then you won't be able to say that you are this body anymore. You won't be able to say that you are the mind, or the intelligence, or the ego, or the senses, or anything like that. At the moment, suppose if you hurt me, I'll say you hurt me. What do I say hurt me? Because something happened to my body, or
or my leg is broken, or hand is broken, whatever it may be. In all those things, my identification with the body is so strong, that's why I'm able to say that. But if I've come to identify myself with who I am, that Advaita Jnana Manasiddhi is addressed in the Bhagavatam, what do they say? Vadandi tat tattvavidam. Tattvajnani say that that is the tattvam. Which one? This Advaita Jnanam inside, not this body, not the mind, not the ego, not the senses. None of them is tattvam. So there is a long way journey from here, from the body to the soul. So non-dual experience. And that doesn't require anything else. On its own, it can make you feel that you exist. It is self-effulgent. That's why it's called self-effulgent. And that's what it is called there also, that sadalmagam ashata, sadalmagam. Sadalmagam means that. Sadalmagam means, sadalmagam means that it is sata. Sadalmagam. Sata means, for example, suppose a lamp is burning there. A lamp is burning. And to see that lamp, you don't have to bring another lamp. Because the lamp itself is burning. That means it burns on its own and it gives you light straight away. Which means its existence or awareness, it's already there in that. And we can say that you don't need another lamp. Whereas in the darkness, if I want to see this table or the chair, I have to bring a light. Just like that lamp is telling us that it exists. Atma inside doesn't require any another thing to come and show it to us, that Atma exists inside me. It exists because that its existence itself is our awareness. Its existence itself is awareness. That is why if you look into that Pipalayana Maharshi's prayers in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, you will see this exactly same thing what he is repeating there. Pipalayana Maharshi is five famous verses. 35 to 40. Pipalayana Maharshi is trying to define the truth in these five verses. Sachitvil bhava pralaya hetura heturasya yal swapna jagara sushuptishu salbahischa dehendriya sukhdayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra naidanmano mishari vaguda chakshuralma pranendriyani chayathanalamarchishaswal shabdho vibodhaka nishedanaya atmamoolam arthoktamaha yadrudena nisheda siddhim Satvam rajastama idi trivadega madhav, sutram mahanaham idi pravadandi jivam, jnanakrayartha balarupadayori shakti, brahmaiva bhadi sadasachadayo paramyal, alma jajana namarishadi naithadesau, nakshiyade savana vilvibhijarinam hi, sarvatra shashvadayana anavayu balabdhi matram, pranoyadhindriya balena vikalpidam sal, Andeshu peshiru darusha vinishchideshu pranohi jivam upadavadi tatra tatra saned indriya ganeham ija prasupte kudastama shayamrade tadanuspradirna yarhi abjanama charaneshana yoryu bhaktya chedomalani vidhamel gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddham upalabhyadam atma tattvam sakshat yatha amaladrisho savidram prakashah. That last line, how he concludes that. Tasmin vishuddham upalabhyadam atma tattvam. Atma's tattvam is that. What is that? Sakshad yatha amaladrisho savidra prakasha. That savidra prakasha, that is, it is self-illuminating on its own. It does not require any other agent to confirm its existence. On its own,
It tells you all. That's why if you ask the question, how do you explain Atma? In the Shastram, the word used is consciousness, isn't it? Consciousness means awareness, in other words. Bodham. Sandram Anandam Avabodham. Sandranandam Bodhatmakam. That Bodham, awareness, is the symptom of the soul. Bodham is the closest thing what you can use to explain Atma is Bodham. Is Bodham. Because Atma, generally when we say Satya Chitta Anandam, isn't it? Satya Chitta Anandam. Anandam we can't say now because we haven't experienced it. We don't know anything about Anandam. Satta also we don't know the soul enough to explain that. But Chit is this Avabodham. That is why Chit Shakti is important out of the three. Today, in our present state, it is only the Chit Shakti that is operating in us very powerfully. Such Sat side, the knowledge of the Sat and knowledge of the Anandam is unknown to us at the moment. Although Shastram says this is what Atma means, Satya Chitta Anandam. Sat we know, if you accept this principle, that Sat exists all the time. Sat means eternity. That Atma exists eternally, then Sat becomes real. But today, because we are in the bodily identity, we can't understand. We don't know whether we exist ever or not. Body is finished because we are identifying with the body now. So Sat side and Anandam is at the moment not in our reach. But Chit, you can't even deny today because it is there in the form of awareness inside us. Chit Shakti. So that's why it's spoken there. So here, Sadalpakam, if you give attention there, what he's saying here is that Sakshat Yasseva Spuranam Sadalpam Asata Sadalpakam Asat Sadalpakam Asat. So Sadalpakam Asat Kalpartakam Bhasate. That's an interesting thing. That thing, what it says there. It says that Yasyaiva Spuranam Sadalpam Asata Kalpartakam Asat Kalpartakam Bhashade Sakshat Tattvamasiti Veda Vachasa Yo Bho Adhyayam Ashridam. This Spurana, or that Atma which is making us aware of its existence, Sadalpmagam. Sadalpmagam means, if you give your attention there in Atma, or the soul, Asad Kalpartakam Bhasate, that everything that is separate from that, which is Asad, everything that is separate from that, when you give attention to that Sat, everything else, that means except at the center where you are experiencing that, I am. Where do I experience I am? Here, isn't it? I am experiencing I am. That's why everyone in the world say I am. Because it's there we are experiencing. This is universal language. Wherever you go in the world, it's I am. I never done that, you'll say. Why I say here I am. So that's the reason. Because in a known way, we know I is here. That awareness. So except at the center, where you experience that I am, everything else, what you say, when you stay there, little by little, if you start doing this, without effort, that this awareness of I here, that means while if you are thinking about this or sleeping or you are traveling or while sitting alone, whatever you are doing, traveling or flying, whatever it may be, little by little you start thinking about this awareness inside. That is first thing, that's what it's saying here. Yasyaiva Spuranam Sadalpam Asat Kalpartakam Bhashate. Then
What is the interesting thing? What will happen at this? That definitely there is a difference between this mic and me. This mic and me. Inside the mic, this awareness is not there. It's just a matter sitting there. Mic doesn't know that it exists like the way I know I exist. It's not. It's a big difference there. That makes a big difference. Mic does not know that the mic exists. It's just a few material elements combined together in the form it's sitting there, it's doing something. But for me, there's a big difference between that and me. In me, there is, something is there, therefore the hands are moving, the legs are moving, everything, all movements are happening. And in somewhere in this body, I'm always able to say, I exist. I exist. So, aham asmi, I am existing. And what is that awareness? What is that awareness? And you remember, if you see how things have been misunderstood, yeah? You must have heard this famous statement that Jesus Christ says that knock and door will open. What's that? Yeah, you know, if you knock, the door will open. They have interpreted it in so many different ways. It's an Upanishad statement that is. That this ahamasmi, if you knock here, if you search for the truth in that place, you will find it there. That is what the Upanishads are saying. And that Jesus has said that also in the same way. But by over a period of time and due to interpretations and other things, Christians, when they are propagating their religion, they will use this to tell the people, if you go and knock at the door, he will definitely open the door for you. So, but the spiritual knowledge behind that is lost. The spirit is lost. They completely changed everything like this. Everything is like that. In every religious, spiritual, religious text, this happens. That person who started who propagated the knowledge or spoke that in the beginning, he meant something and the followers meant something else. You can see in our own life we are witnessing this, isn't it? He says something what the founder has in his realization has spoken, the truth, we interpret it in different way because what happens is our gunam, three modes, will start playing its role while interpreting that. And that is true with Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, everything. It affects in every religion, this happens. That is why it says, so he says, keep knocking and it will be open to you. This is that knocking. Knocking is this, that you search for that awareness inside. I am, which you are feeling that knock all the time. And even little boy, children, if you tell them this, they may understand. But grown up and adults, they won't understand this. That this is what is being referred to. So the problem is that adults or grown ups, they have cultivated externally a lot of knowledge, unnatural things they have cultivated. And due to that knowledge, and due to their ahankaram inside, which has also built up over a period of time, and we have become like buffaloes. We have become like buffaloes because of that. You know buffaloes, what they are like. in a shastram, they compare very deeply ignorant person compared to a buffalo. Highly ignorant. And that buffalo consciousness has come. Why? Because a simple thing like this, that what is in the Upanishads, what is in the, I think it's come from the Bible, this statement, knock, the door will open. Yes.
Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be
open. Open, yeah. So, it is there. And do you think Jesus Christ has come to tell us that you should knock the door so that the door will open? Jesus Christ doesn't have to tell us this. He's saying in a very subtle level. But what has happened is when they start preaching, these preachers are the biggest problem in this world. They preach and change everything. You can see they all cause problems. So, therefore, what happened is that he mentioned meant something else. But when it came through all the preachers and all, it changed. The whole message got changed. And similarly, even grown-up people, when you say these things, they will not, the difficulty they are finding it to accept this is that due to their unnatural, externally, they have cultivated the knowledge of the world, Maya, in other words. Unnaturally, a lot of knowledge they have acquired in this world. Plus, added to that, ahankaram inside, the false ego also has grown up very strongly, very strong inside. And then we have become like this, as I said, this buffalo-like thing. So that is why such a simple thing, what he has spoken, is not getting in from inside so much resistance. So there cannot be anything more simple than the truth itself, than the truth itself. And if it is a truth, it has to be universal. Whether it is Hindu, Muslim, Christian, whoever it may be, it has to be true for everybody. And that is why this one thing, the awareness inside, existence of the soul inside, it has to be true for everybody. It has to be true for everybody. And if the truth is only for one sampradaya, then that truth is not truth. It cannot be the truth. It should be available to all. It should be available to all. And no matter how stupid he is, a person, he should have it. And it should be possible for anyone to recognize that truth and able to realize it without being taught. He should be able to have it. So universally, if you look at it, this experience or awareness inside is the only thing what is present everywhere in the world to every living entity. Is it not? Whole human species, nobody can deny the experience or the awareness of I am, existence. That is why this realization is the one which will be acceptable more than a form when you give it to somebody. Otherwise what will happen? You will say, people will fight. You say Krishna is God. Somebody else says, no, Allah is God. And then we take the weapon, start killing each other. We have no other choice. So, but here, this awareness is concerned. If he is logical, if the other person is logical, nobody can say that this awareness of experience inside, rishis gave importance to this more than anything else in this world. They didn't give importance to the form. They gave importance to this awareness inside. And what they are saying to us is that this is universal experience. This doesn't require that you belong to a particular religion because everybody has got it. And it is a universal thing that this awareness of my existence, and that is the actual truth, and therefore this truth is available to everybody. Available to everybody. So, for example, if you say that there is only truth in the Vedam, everybody has not accepted as authority. Only some people have accepted, in India has accepted Vedam as authority. But all through the world, people have not accepted Vedam as authority. Therefore, Vedam actually does not refer to the books or the literature or the hymns or the processes that are spoken there. Vedam actually refers to this awareness. And that is why we say Vedam is for everybody. Vedam, by the word Vedam, refers to this knowledge what is inside or this awareness inside. What is known as the Advaya Jnanam in the Bhagavadam. That is Vedam. Vedam is not the books. Vedam is not the hymn. Hymns, that is Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, so many Vedams we talk about it. That is not Vedam. That is only the gross manifestation of this knowledge inside, awareness inside. So, so if you say Vedam and present the books to them and says, look, these Vedas are the authority, then others will reject that. They won't accept that. Christians will say, no, we have got Bible, we have got our Vedam, they say. Muslims will say they have got their Vedam. So, but in the Vedic literature, the description of the truth is like this. That awareness which is present in all of us, in all living entities, and it which never leaves us under any circumstances, which is actually transmigrating from one body to another, along with its subtle body, that is the truth. That is how truth is defined, and that is how Pipalaya Maharshi has spoken there. If you look at it, there is no reference to the name Krishna there, anything, nothing is mentioned there. It is simply spoken in this way, so that nobody can reject it. Nobody can reject it. So, because Vedam also has come from this center, this center which is known as what we address today as the truth or the center, and it is from this center all Vedic literature has come. Bhagavad Gita has come from this center, and Satyam, wherever in the world, in whichever place, whoever has realized the truth, and whoever has spoken about the truth, and for whomever this truth is available, it is coming from that center. And that is why, you know, in Vedam, how properly spoken that, Ekam Sadvipra Bahudha Vadandi, it says. Upanishad says like that. Because, you know, when you preach religion as a sectarian thing, based on one particular tradition and one particular form, there is always objection to that from the world. That cannot be accepted by everybody. But here, in the Upanishads, what they are saying, that is the difference. Upanishads are saying to us that this center from where this knowledge is coming, Advaya Jnanam, Bhagavatam also uses the same word, Advaya Jnanam. Advaita Jnanam is coming from that center. That center, that is from where Vedas have come, Upanishads have come. Upanishads have come from there. Bhagavad Gita has come from that center. And Krishna is that center. That's all it is. Krishna is that center. We call that center as Krishna. But that center is Brahmam, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. Whichever way we address that. So, and that center is available for everybody. And that is why Upanishad says, Ekam Sadvipra Bahudha Vadandi. It is spoken by many in different forms, in different names. Somebody calls Allah, somebody calls Jesus, and somebody else may say something else. We may address that in one other way. Whatever it may be, Ekam, that's one. That's that center, which is the place where the realization of the self happens, that self-realization state. So, and that center, when you start interpreting with your mind and intelligence, everybody explain it in different ways. For example, according to their realization, how far they have realized it, they will speak on that level. For example, when Jesus realized it in his level, whatever he has spoken, they say that the pigeon has spoken. There is a statement in the Bible like that. That if you ask a question, that there is a relationship with the Baptist John, is where it's spoken. That if the pigeon has spoken, it says, then if you ask a question, if a pigeon speaks, there will be knowledge in that case. So you can see in his statement, John's statement, he says there that two pigeons were flying and the knowledge has come through the pigeons. It mentions like that. So, in Baptist John's way of saying that, of what he has realized from them, was in this way it came through him. Different people, like this, I'll give you an example, that interpretations of that truth, when it comes through devotees, jnanis, yogis, all of them, what is happening, truth is the same. But when it comes through them, according to their realization, they are speaking. That you have to always bear that in mind. For example, there's a tree standing there. And there's a plenty of, say, mango tree or apple tree. Plenty of fruits, fully ripe, ready to eat. By chance, a crow has flying and came and sat on that tree. An apple dropped from the tree. Apple dropped from the tree. You may say that because the crow has come and sat on the tree, the apple has dropped. That is not the truth. Apple was ready to drop. It so happened the crow came and sat on that. Similarly, but when we talk about it, we will say like this, crow came and sat on the tree and the fruit has dropped. Similarly, this realization is like that. Any realization is like that. For example, Lord Buddha, he realized the truth while he was sitting underneath a banyan tree, huge banyan tree. But that doesn't mean if I go and sit underneath the banyan tree, I will realize the self. Would I? No. I won't realize the self. But similarly, in Buddha's time, it was like that. In Buddha's time, it was like that. Buddha sat underneath the banyan tree and he did meditation and he realized the self. It's not that he realized the self by sitting because he sat underneath the banyan tree. We'll stop for a minute. It's getting late. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha navagninarvavanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandamruti vardhanam pratipada purnam radaswadanam sarvapna subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala eda drishitava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdeivami drishamiha janinanuhagaham tranaravi shunichena tarorabi sahishuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari ahanam majanam nasundeim kavidam vajagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahai dugitvai ai nandananu jakinjaram patitamam shame bhavambudam kripaya tava padapangajasthiraluli sadrisham vichindayam nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulaker nijidam kadavapu avamhama grahane bhavishyati udayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam chunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda grahe nami ashleshya va padaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuvam yatha tada va vidada tulambhado malpranamathastuna evana param. So, by imitating Lord Buddha, like the way many people did at that time, because Buddha was sitting underneath the banyan tree and engaged in meditation, everybody thought, oh, if I sit underneath the banyan tree and engage in meditation, I will also realize like Buddha. They followed that, doing that. That is how it started. And so, from this you can see, like in the Bhagavadam, if you look, you remember that Paundraga Vasudev? Paundraga Vasudev story. That Paundraga Vasudev thought that if I dress up like Krishna, there is a story in the Bhagavadam, where he dressed up like Krishna. He thought he will become Krishna then. Is it not? That's what he did. Paundraga Vasudev tried to dress up like Krishna, and he sent a messenger to Dwaraka saying that, actually you are not Krishna, saying to Krishna, you are the messenger, that I am Krishna because I have four hands like Sudarshana disc I have. And he painted his body with the blue paint and everything, and he cleared himself. So, similarly, what Pandraga Vasudeva did to show to the world that he is Krishna. Similarly, in Buddha's time, four or five people did this. They went and sat underneath the tree to enlighten themselves. So, but that didn't work. Externally, you can do anything, but it may be different in different people. Different people do it in a different way. Similarly, religion is also like that. When it comes to religion, Christians do in one way, Hindus do in another way, Muslims do in a different way. It is like that. But the truth inside, from where the reality is, a self-realization, if that is not there in that religion, then all these external things have no meaning. Whether it is Hinduism or Christianity or Islam, it doesn't matter. It all becomes simply rituals and nothing, no relationship with the truth. So, what important point is that in different people, if you look that in any religion, those who have realized the truth, their internal experience, or and we say in the Vedic tradition, we call it satta, satta anubhavam, and that anubhavam is sadalmagam. That is that what it's saying there. That yasyaiva spuranam sadalmagam asada kalpartagam bhashate. What it means is that sadalmagam. That sadalmagam means it's coming from that center. From the center where realization happens. If you give your attention there where it's happening, asad kalpartagam. It says there, sadatmagam asad kalpartagam bhashate. Kalpartagam bhashate. That means, if you are given attention there, then everything else will become asad. All other things will become asad. Kalpartagam bhashate. Asatha means pradibhasam. Remember in the beginning we talked about pradibhasam and anibhavam. So if you give your attention at that center, where this awareness of existence is there, bodham, avabodham, awareness, if your attention is there, then yatyeva spuranam sadalmagam asada kalpartagam bhashate. Everything else become asat then. Everything else become asat. Asatha means pradibhasam. For example, in a cinema, when you are seeing on the screen, everything you are seeing on the screen, and in the screen everything looks very different. They are not going to explain all the things what's happening in the screen. Because it is in the center or awareness where all this creation, all other things are happening. I don't know, you get that point. That if this awareness is not there, world is not existing, other people don't exist, nothing exists, because the truth is inside here. It is in this truth, all the other things you are experiencing, the existence of the world, existence of others, existence of the creation, everything is in this truth. If this is not there, awareness is not there, this whole realization doesn't exist at all. So therefore, that is why in the Upanishads they say tattvamasi. That tattvam, what you are is, you are looking for, is tvam. That tat tvam asi. This is famous statement in the Upanishads. Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad says tattvam asi. That tattvam you are looking for is tvam asi. Is here. So, that is why it's a famous statement. Aham prajnanam brahmam, aham brahmasmi, tattvam asi, I am atman brahma. The four famous statements in the Upanishads. Yesterday we saw, first thing is, Prajnanam Brahmam. Prajnanam means to know that we are consciousness. That is the first one. And after that, Prajnanam Brahmam. Where do you look for that Brahmam? Aham Brahmasmi. First thing is Prajnanam Brahmam. And where you look for that is Aham Brahmasmi. And that Aham Brahmasmi, how do you realize that? Tattvamasi. That realization is Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi. So, Aham Asmi, Yogam Asmi, Aham Asmi, Aham Evaham Asmi, Upanishad says. So, eventually, you have to sacrifice everything for the sake of this awareness, and you have to sacrifice it there. Aham Asmi, that center. And that is what it mentioning here. Sadalmagam Asad Kalpartakam Bhasate. Sadalmagam Asad Kalpartakam Bhasate. Those two words. Yashyaivas Puranam. That is Puranam. That's Purana here. Or Prajna here. Or Jnapti here. What is used in the Bhagavatam? The different words. Prajna, Jnapti, Spurana. These are all the same thing. That thing inside here where you are realizing the truth. Prajna Jnapti Smaranam. Yasyaiva Spuranam. Muchukunda used the word Jnapti. Pipalayana used the word Prajna. And Devaki Devi used the word Satta. Vasudeva also used the word Satta. So, different personalities, according to their taste, they have used the word, whatever they wanted. Vastu is the same. The same thing is spoken in different ways. Satta, Prajna, Jnapti, in different ways. So, all that is pointing out to this awareness inside. And Acharya is using the word Spurana. Spurana is another word for that. Spurana means constantly from that, these realizations are coming, everything, awareness, which is spreading all the time. Yasyaiva Spuranam. So it says, Sada Atma Vasata Kalpartagam Bhashate. He says that Kalpartagam Bhasate, the source of all creation, of this whole creation or manifestation, if you ask the question, where is it? How does Upanishad answers that? Chandogya Upanishads in the 6th chapter says, Tattvamasi. That's the answer. In the 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad is a very famous part spoken and discussed and commented big way by many great personalities. The 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. And that is why? Because that is where the rishis have stated categorically that this truth, what you are looking for all over, is inside you. Is inside you. It's an amazing statement. And still they haven't stopped the research. They are looking for something. That's why they are going to all the other planets and finding out where is it, where is it, where is it. What's the truth? They are looking. Rishis came out with this answer, that the truth what you are looking for is inside you. Krishna is present inside us. That's the truth. That's what is called Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi. So, Upanishad says, Tattvamasi iti sakshal veda vajasa yo bhodhavati. Here also, you'll see that kalpārthakam bhāṣate sakshat tattvamasi iti veda vajasa yo bhodhaya āśriran. Yo bhodhavati āśriraha. Bhodhavati āśriraha. In the form of bodham or awareness is present inside. So, tattvamasiti, he says, tattvamasiti veda vajasa. Sakshat tattvamasiti veda vajasa yo bodhaya tyashridan. Yes, sakshat karanada bhavena punara avrittivir bhavambho nidhau. Then, the nature of that bodham, awareness is that if you take shelter of that, those who take shelter, for him, he will manifest in the form of a guru, and through his grace, you will experience the highest truth, what it is. And that which is the real truth, that means in your experience level, there is a lot of truth in different ways you are experiencing. Anubhava Mandalam, it's called. Anubhava mandala means in your experience level, you are experiencing various things. But there is a center of those whole Anubhava mandala, experience level. And that is called, Brahma call it as Satyasya Satyam. Satyasya Satyam. So, Satyasya Satyam means that he is the Satyam of all the other Satyams. All other Satyam exists because of this Satyam. This Satyam. Satyasya Satyam. And, to, it says here, Sakshat Tattvamasiti Veda Vajasa Yobhodayada Shridhan Yakshatshat Karanada Bhavena Punaravritte Virbhavambho Nidhau Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So, Satyasya Satyam, that means, Satyasya Satyam means, in all of us, that awareness as aham, 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 which is present there, and that itself is that Satyam. Satyasya Satyam. That is that Satyam. Within each one of us, whom we are experiencing all the time as I am, I am, I am, that experience, and that is what is, or within each body, in everyone's body, in the center, I am experiencing that. And that I am experience, it's not separate in everybody. It is one experience that is present in each body. But it is one. It is one. It is one. It is not different. That's one. That's present in everybody. Everybody. And it is present in everybody as awareness. Aham, aham, aham. Awareness. All other things, what we have added on to that is this body, the mind, the vasanas, the intelligence, the senses. These are all added on separately for separate bodies. Separate bodies. But the one that is sitting in everyone as awareness, that's one. That's not many. That's not many. For example, in the dream state, when I'm observing that somebody is in the dream state, when I'm seeing myself that I'm doing something different, and I'm observing that, that observer, awareness, which is coming from that person who is observing everything, and that is same for everybody. It's the same in everyone. Jiva may be different. Paramatma is one. Paramatma is one. Jivatma may be different. Paramatma is one. That is there. Now, this question is very difficult for many people to accept. They will ask the question, how can it be? Their end question will be that, if it is like that, if one person gets liberated, everybody should get liberated then, if it is one. That question will come. Is it not? Because it's not so straightforward, this discussion. It's not straightforward. That is why, because people will ask, when you tell them that there is only one Atma present in everyone, then they will say, the next question will be, then if one Atma is the same in everybody, and if one person is getting liberated, everybody else should get liberated. Is it not? That logical? So, that is the difficult, that is requires explanation. And that's what Shukha Brahmarshi did in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto to Parikshit. That, that is why Krishna is saying bondage and liberation are not real. It is for this reason. Remember, Krishna says in the 12th chapter, 11th or 12th chapter of the 11th canto, Bandho mukta idivyakya gunado mena vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksha unda bandhanam. Bondage and liberation doesn't exist. So that we will see when we discuss that 5th chapter. There's a lot of things to say about that. So here, you can see here that in every body, in every center, that awareness what is happening is the same in everyone. And yasakshad karanad, yasakshad karanad. If you realize it in that way, what will happen? Saksham karanan bhavein punaravrtti virbhavambho nidhito. Bhavambhodi means samsaram, material existence. You know, I will simply just touch that and go. What Sugar Brahma Rishi told to Parikshit is that sun is one sun in the sky, up there. In the sky he is shining. He is reflecting in different parts, right? He is reflecting in different parts. There is water, say 1,000 parts there, and in 1,000 parts the water is, sun is reflecting. If you smash one pot out of these 1,000 pots, that sun die. That one particular sun die. Say, that sun got liberated. But the original sun there, he is there. This sun has gone and joined that sun. In other words, the pot you have smashed, that reflection of that sun in that water, that's gone and joined the other sun. But all other pots still has the sun. Our liberation, when they ask this question, when you speak this, say this, that if one person gets liberated, everybody should get liberated. We are actually reflections. Remember in the 12th, if you don't look at that verse, what Sugar Brahma Rishi said there. If you look at that 12th canto in the 5th chapter, 5th or 5th chapter, yeah. He mentioned, example comes before, but here he used the pot, ghata akasham and mata akasham. That ghate bhinne yatha akasham, that's the 5th verse. Ghate bhinne yatha akasham akashasyal yatha pura, evam dehe mrde jivo brahma sambadhyade puna. 5th verse in the 5th chapter. He's saying there that gade bhinne yatha akasham, there is so many pots, there is sky in the pot. If you break one pot, the sky in that pot becomes the sky, big sky. But all other, what they say is, if you have a small pot, the sky inside the pot, what will you say about that? Gade akasham, the sky inside the pot. Mata akasham, the other one is gade akasham. So gade bhinne yatha akasham akashasyal yatha pura evam dehe mrde jivo brahma sambadhyade puna. Similarly, when the jiva leaves, jiva finished, jiva is not there anymore, what happens to jiva? Brahma sambadhyade puna, becomes brahmam. It becomes brahmam. So that example is there. And this example of reflection of the sun in the pot is mentioned in the 3rd canto, I think. 3rd or 4th canto somewhere, it's there. Jalagni Suryavat, it mentions there. So, Bhavambhudi, he says that Bhavambhudi, the thing is, he says, that yas sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrtti vir bhavambho nidhau. Bhavambho nidhau. Bhavambho nidhau means, Bhavambhudi means the ocean of material existence. Ambhudi means ocean. Bhava means repeated birth and death. Repeated birth and birth. Because we are caught up in that. And bhavam is the nature of the mind. Nature of the mind. See, who is actually changing the body? Soul doesn't change the body. That's a misunderstanding. Soul doesn't change the body. Subtle body is changing. Isn't it? Mind, intelligence, ego and the senses and all that, that little subtle package, that is what is accepting another body. And therefore, bhavambhudi means bhavam, repeated birth is happening to the mind. That's where transmigration happens. As far as soul is concerned, there is no migration, no transmigration, nothing. Soul is completely free from all these things. And mind is always busy with transmigration. So remember this, that from the day we were born, we have only one moment inside our mind. From the day we were born, there's only one moment inside our mind. What is that? I want to become. I want to become. I want to become. For example, if you are children, you want to grow up. And when you become one, when you grow up, you want to become a doctor, an engineer, computer, professional, whatever that is. So to become one, or I want to become a husband, become a father, become, I want to become a grandfather, or I want to become a wife, I want to become a mother, I want to become this. So to become something is ingrained in the mind from very beginning, from birth itself. I want to become. And that moment inside the mind is in us. For example, if you come to spiritual life also, what happens first? You want to become something. You want to become a devotee, then you want to become a pure devotee. Then again you want to become something else. After that you are thinking, what's the next after that to become. So this becoming business is called bhavam. And that is a disease. This becoming something, it's a disease. It doesn't go away. In different people it happens in a different way. So whatever it is, that moment, I have to become this, I have to become that. In material level, we can say like this. I want to become a doctor, engineer, professor, or IT specialist, or whatever. That in a material level, you say all those things. I want to become. But in the spiritual level, you can say, I want to become a jnani, I want to become a yogi, I want to become a pure devotee, or I want to, or if they are attached to organization and all, they will say, I want to become a temple president, I want to become a GBC, or I want to become a sannyasi, or I want to become a guru, or I want, this is all becoming only. And they say that, oh, I become a guru now. How did you become a guru? Somebody has stamped you, they become a guru. So in this way, this philosophy won't change. Wherever it is, it will happen like that. Or in any level, if you take it, to becoming something is with us all the time. It is working in that way. And that is called bhavam. Bhavam, bhavam means to become that. Bhavatuhu bhavananukulo vyapara visheshaha. So, this, to become something, and it is a vyapara vishesha. Vyapara vishesha means that it is a flow continuously inside happening us, to become something. And bhavo nirodha. Here you can see that a sakshal karanat bhavena punara vrittivir bhavam bhonidau. So it is at that time, in order to stop that, to becoming, to become something, that flow inside, to stop that, you require the help of a guru. That is the spiritual master's job. That stops there. I want to become something. There is nothing to become here. In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, in the appearance of Krishna, the reason is spoken. For example, bhavam, you look into the verse, nivrta tarshair ubagiyamanat bhavaushadi chotram anomiramat yad uttama shloka gunabhiramat puman virajyeda vina pashugnat. If you look at the 10th canto, first chapter, in three places in the first chapter, you will see in the three places this happens. First 10.1.4, first one mentions about this. Nivrta tarshair ubagiyamanal bhava aushada chotra manobhiramal ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeda vina pashugnat. Why is Bhagavatam talking about this bhavam so much? Because bhavam is the problem. Bhavam is the problem. I want to become this, I want to be this, I want to be this. And it never leaves us. You will never say, even when you get older, you are saying, oh, I want to be this, I want to be that. And then, or you will say, I want to leave this body in this way. Or I want to go back to spiritual world. Or I want to go back to this planet. Whatever it is, there is always this, I want, I want, I want. That is called a bhava. So you see what they say? Nivrta tarshai rubagiyamanal bhavam aushadam shrotramanobhiramal. If you want to come out of that bhavam problem, then you have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what he is saying there, this 10th canto. Nivrta tarshair vagiyamanal bhavam aushadam shrotram manobhiramad. Ka uttama shloka gunanu vadad puman mirajyeda vina pashugnan. So, why Parishit Maharaj is saying this? He is saying to Shukam Brahmashi that to come out of this bhava business, becoming something, there is no other way except to hear about Krishna. Then, if you go into the second chapter, in the 10th canto, in the second chapter, you will see there a verse there, Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman bhavarnavam bhimamadabrasau hridaha bhaval padambhoruhanavamatrade nidhaya yadha sadanugraho bhavan. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman bhavarnavam. This is bhavam. Bhavam means this, bhavarnavam means this ocean, where this thought is constantly flowing inside us, unable to stop it. At no point in time you are able to stop it, because it's constantly flowing inside, and that is why it's called bhavam, continuously flowing inside. So, swayam samuttirya, this is in the same prayers, Brahma's prayers too, Garbhastuti it is. In Garbhastuti, Brahma is saying this, to stop that bhavam, we have to take your shelter. There is no other way. Otherwise, bhavam won't stop. Swayam samuttirya sudhisteram dhyuman bhavarnavam bhimam adabra sauhradaha bhaval padambhoruhanavam atrade nithayayata sadanugraho bhavan. Unless you have that grace from Krishna, this bhavam won't stop. Bhavam won't stop. It will keep going like this. Because as long as this, I want this, I want to become this, I want to become that, means you can more take it that you have a next body. Body is there. As long as this thought is inside, the body is waiting there to arrange for that. So unless this stops, that won't stop. So if repeated birth and death has to stop, this has to stop first. This bhavam has to stop that. That is why it's there. Now if you look into the second chapter again, verse 39. To stop this bhavam, how that will be? Natho bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam vina vinodam badatarkayamahe bhavo nirodam sthidirapya vidyaya kridayatastvaya bhayashrayalpani. Brahma is saying to Krishna that bhavo nirodam sthidirapya vidyaya, it will only stop with the knowledge kridayatastvaya bhayashrayalpani, by taking Krishna shelter. So in so many places in the Bhagavatam itself, this bhavam is spoken. And that is the same thing Ajarya is saying here also. That yes sakshal karanat bhavena punaravritti virbhavambho nitau. That unless this inside bhavam stops, birth and death won't stop. Birth and death won't stop. Because in our subtle body, desires are coming, and that is that desires are creating this bhavam. Flow, continuous flow, isn't it? Bhavo nirodham. And that is the flow of the mind. Now, blocking the flow of the mind is what yogis do. Where does this bhavam happen? Bhavam happens in the mind. Now, yogis' process is to completely block the mind, to stop the flow of the mind. Because it's the Ashtanga Yogam process is like that. Vedanti's process is, Vedantis have a different, everybody has a different way, but ultimate goal is the same, to stop this bhavam inside the mind. Yogis do it in one way, jnanis do it in another way, devotees do it in a different way. That also is important to know. Yogis, what they do through the process of Ashtanga Yogam, Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, in that way, they stop the mind flowing. Flow of the mind is stopped. That means there is no more chitavritti, no more bhavam happening there. Therefore, it stops there. But in the process related to Vedantam, it says, let the mind flow, but behind that mind, untouched by the flow, that is steady. Mind is flow, let it flow. But behind that flow, there is something which stays untouched, which is the self, which is the self. And even when this flow is going on, that vastu inside, he is not affected. He is not affected. So, this flow is only real if you take it as real. If you don't take it seriously, real, as real, then then it is not real. Because instead of identifying with that flow of that mind, if you identify with Atma, self, which is behind it, then this flow of mind is not real anymore. Because you are identifying with it, it becomes real for us. This is the jnani's process. Jnani's process. So, just like when you get into the train is moving, and at that, when you are moving, the train is moving, you are looking outside through the window of the train, and places are finishing, different places you are finishing, and the train is keep moving, isn't it? So initially in the train, when you are sitting, you are seeing the place, and in a short period of time, the place is gone. It is disappeared from your vision. Similarly, the trees which are standing on either side of the rail track, they all, you are seeing that and it has disappeared. Similarly, when the mind is moving, you feel as though you are also moving with it. You are also moving with that. But when you realize that you are not that mind, instead that thing which does not move inside, which is the soul, when you realize that, this movement of the mind will not affect. That is the jnani's process. Jnani's process. So, the important thing is to realize this, that I am that vastu inside which has no movement. Once you have known that, and let the body do what it has to do, let the mind act what it has to do, intelligence do what it has to do, senses what it has to do. But all the time, in jnani's case, he is always situated in the self, is situated in the self. So, even if the mind continuously engaged in thinking, till if you are conscious that this vastu behind that, Atma, if your attention is on that, then this movement of the mind will not disturb you. But you have to be established there in the self. So, that is why, so therefore, whatever that is happening in the mind is just a flow still continuing, but it will not have any impact on us. So, but if you don't give attention to that vastu inside, then if you don't give attention to that vastu inside, then you will fall into the flow. You'll fall into the flow. That is called bhavam. Once you have fallen into the flow of the mind, it's called bhavam. Bhavam. Bhavam means to becoming. Becoming. So, with that bhavam, this becoming business, we keep that and we come to the spiritual life. With this becoming business, we come to the spiritual life. And that is our failure. That's our failure. Because when we come to spiritual life also, we are thinking, in spiritual life, what will I become? If you start thinking like that, you are very much in the material life. If after coming to, you know, we have, many people have big, big ambitions in life, isn't it? Some of them had such a big ambitions that even in our movement also the same thing, that people with big ambitions had come, some of those people, and knowing that, and if you tell them about this, it won't go inside. It won't go inside because the bhavam is very powerful inside. So therefore, what happens is, they will ask the question, when will I realize the self? That will be the first question. Some people used to be, devotees used to ask, how long does it take to realize the self? How long does it take? When will I go back home, back to Godhead? Only 2 days ago, I was listening to a class. Out of curiosity, I listened to that class. One lady was giving a class in Dallas. It's still there in the, if you want to hear, you can listen to that. She was saying, that in somewhere Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said it takes 3 lifetimes to go back home to Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said it takes 3 lifetimes to go back home back to Godhead. But then this she read in some book, one lecture from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Then in another lecture she read, same Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, it takes only 1 lifetime to go back home back to Godhead. So she brought up this issue in the class and said that there it says 3 lifetimes. Here it takes, it's possible in 1 lifetime. So why don't we do it right now? Why do we have to wait 3 lifetimes? Why did he say like that? 3 lifetimes. This question came up. There's a serious discussion about it, whether it is 3 or whether it's 1. And similarly, when people ask this question to Prabhupada, Prabhupada sometimes said, you can get it liberated right now, at this moment, he said to them. And also Prabhupada said, it will take millions of lifetimes to go back, home back to Godhead. So you can see the problem that our vasanas inside about liberation, about going back home back to Godhead, and this main problem of bhavam is chasing us even in spiritual life. When you come to spiritual life also, we are thinking, how long is it going to take? That's the first thing you want to calculate, that 10 years, 20 years. Many devotees have told me that when they join the movement, in a year's time maximum, they said they will realize the self. Because they thought bhakti process is so simple. All you have to do is to chant, dance and take prasadam. And in a year's time you will realize who you are. But it hasn't happened after 40 years. It's still going on. So what this is saying is that on a superficial level we can say so many things. But when it comes to spiritual feel and when it comes to spiritual drive, people ask this question, when will I realize the truth? The answer is, it's now. You have to realize now, always there is only one time, and that's now. We shouldn't think like this. Bring the time factor into it, into self-realization. It has no meaning. Self-realization, because if you start connecting time with self-realization, then the whole thing becomes a nonsense. This is something which is free from time and space, first thing. If you bring time and space into that, when and where and how and all that is no connection with self-realization. It can happen now, it cannot happen for millions of, in terms of time, years. If it happens now, it happens. Otherwise not. That's all, it's not happened. That's all you can say. If it happens now, it has happened. If it has happened now, it hasn't happened. That's all you can say about that. But you can't put a time limit to that. That is no meaning at all. So this is why what happens is, out of our ignorance, we are adulterating the present moment with the past and the future. Past and the future. We are adulterating that. Because there is no thing called the future, there is no thing called the past. Past is all memory. Come and gone, come and... What meaning has it got now with the past? You can, for your easy comprehension purposes, you can say 20 years, 50 years, 100 years and all that. Does it mean anything? It doesn't mean anything. It has no meaning at all. Whether it has happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago or 5,000 years ago, it's all the same today, as far as we are concerned, is it not? If it is, people are so much wrapped up in this time concept that when they come to spiritual life, they bring that into it. And they are comparing, Bible has been spoken 2,000 years ago. Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. No. Bhagavad Gita was spoken 40 million years ago. Then we argue with them. So this is the oldest one, this is more bona fide than Bible, we'll say. Then Muslims will say, no, 1500 years ago a prophet has spoken. So that means it's the latest one. So that's not the truth, we'll say. But whether it's Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita or anything, whatever it may be, if the truth is spoken in that, and if you bring time concept into it and started comparing it, all that is useless. That's useless. It is not dependent on time. Truth is true. What is true 5,000 years ago It is true 2000 years ago, true 1500 years ago, and it is true today, right now, it is true. And that is the nature of the truth. That is why, Yavat, that he says here, that yes, sakshal karanad bhavena punaravrtti virbhavam bho nithau, that the present time, what we have now, what we are talking about, when we talk about past and the future, you are polluting the present with past and future. Polluting the present with past and future. Because in your experience, there is only present. There is no past in your experience. That's gone. In the memory it is now. It's not in your experience now. Self-realization is always in the present. Not in the past or in the future. Future is all your imagination or expectations, whatever. Due to bhavam only these things happen. That what will I become? Then you are thinking about the future. In future I will become, you say like that. Or past also, the same problem. So past and future is created by the mind. It's created by the mind. So in experience level, only present exists. There is a lot of things in spiritual life to wipe out that ignorance from inside. With all this ignorance, we are chanting, we are dancing, we are feasting. But ignorance has not gone inside. And this false understanding is dragging us through life after life. Bhavam is not going away. It's happening. So what we have to realize here is that present time, in present, present is what it is there, real. That is being polluted by the past and the future. And in experience level, there is only present time. And mind creates this past and future continuously. It's creating that. Past, future. So, past and future, can anybody experience that? Nobody can experience past. Nobody can experience the future. Think about that. For example, if I say that I'm 68 years old, but that 68 years, what I'm talking about, doesn't exist now. All I don't experience that I'm 68. Where is it written in me? Where am I experience my age? I can't experience. But even though it is so, when you feel weak and tired, you may say, I'm getting old. Sometimes you say, I'm 70 years old or 80 years old, like this. But in your experience, there is no 68 or 70 or 75 or 80 or anything like that, isn't it? It is in the mind and it is in the brain. Mind and the brain. So many ideas like this in my brain, and based on that, I am talking all nonsense. Based on that. In my experience, what do I have actually? Only this awareness that I exist. That's the only thing that is real, and that I have got it now in my experience. Age is not in my experience. Or if you say I have got these qualifications, are they in my experience? No, it's all in the paper, isn't it? Whatever qualifications you have got, it's all on the paper. In your experience level, it's not there. So in this way, if you look at it, everything in this world is all based on these falsities. In experience level, the only one thing what you have is your awareness of your existence. That's what you are all the time experiencing. Who you are, I am this, I am awareness of this. That's what is existing there. So, if we learn the art to go back to that center where it is experienced, that, and one has to learn to stay in that experience, I exist, and that awareness, and that is what is spoken here. That he mentions here, yes, sakshal karanad bhavena punaravrittivir bhavam bhonidhau. You will escape from bhavam if you get established in that center. If you get established in that center. They give this example that, you know this, you know in the rainy season and all, there is one small fly. It will fly and then it will go dark. It will fly and it will go dark. I don't know what it's called. Firefly, is it? Oh. Something that you don't see all the time. Sometimes in the rainy season you get Especially in the warm weather, you see that more than here. And but in the warm weather, that fly will suddenly illumination you will see somewhere, and it will be all dark, and then again there will be illumination. So similarly, that this experience inside is not like that fly, not like that fly, but it's always there all the time, and that is make us to think that how do I identify with this body which is going to die tomorrow, which is going to tomorrow. So, am I that body which is going to die one day? Or am I that mind which is always in a state of movement? Or the intelligence? Does any of that is affecting me? One has to think about that. And am I any of this? And similarly, whatever unhappiness or distress come in life, whatever unhappiness or distress come in life, or any problems that comes in life, we have to, at all that time, we have to assert ourselves and say that all distress and problems are coming to me, but that's all on the mental platform, nothing to do with me. Or other problems are coming to me, that relationship with the body, it is for the body that it's all happening. And slowly, slowly, little by little, somehow or the other, if we try this to take our attention or Shraddha, little by little, from the body and from the mind towards that center, then that will be our, that is the way towards the destination, where we want to go, where we want to go. So that is why this experience won't come overnight. This we have to practice also. When difficulties comes in life, we just have to learn this process of how to separate ourselves from the mind and the intelligence. Because lot of problems we experience is in the body. When bodily problems comes, we have to talk to ourselves and get fixed up in that platform of the soul, established there in the center, awareness, and say that body is having problem, I don't have a problem. In that way, inch by inch, you have to separate yourself from the body. If you don't practice it, what will happen? You'll completely get drowned in that body and the mind. And that's very difficult then. So, similarly, when difficulties comes in life for the mind, mental problems, with various things in Vyavaharam, this will always happen. We just have to learn to tell ourselves that it's happening in the mind and the intelligence. These problems are happening. And therefore, therefore, I am not a part of that. It is a part of that mind, what can be done. Many examples are spoken about that. In Maharashtra, they have a festival in Pandharpur. They have a festival in Pandharpur. So for that festival, when they go, the system is that they make a big lamp burning. And all the devotees will stand around and they will sing, and singing around and circumambulating the lamp, they will spend the whole night. And in the morning, they will announce, we have reached Pandharpur. That's a village people. That's how they hold night time, they are singing Vitala Vitala Panduranga, they are glorifying Krishna in Pandharpur. And they are, this lamp is there, holding, somebody is holding that. And they are singing and dancing all around this lamp. In that process, the lamp is moving, but because they are so absorbed in singing the kirtan to glorify Krishna, they are not even aware. But in the morning, somebody says, oh, we are in Pandharpur now. They announce it, and they are all there in Pandharpur. They have got there. Similarly, sometimes they don't even go to Pandharpur. They will stand somewhere and move around, but in the morning they'll say, we are in Pandharpur. Everybody will announce like that. And it is just because there that Pandharpur is for them, it's a symbolic thing, because many interior remote villagers, they can't come to Pandharpur. It's so far to come there. So what they do, they light this lamp and dance around this lamp, and in the morning they say, oh, we have got to Pandharpur. They will say like that. So similarly, we are already there in that place. That is where we are actually. We are sitting there, and that is our center, and there is no movement from that center. But it appears to us that we have left that center. We are in the world. We are in this body. We are doing so many different things. And that is called Brahmam. Brahmam is the word for that. And it appears as though we are bound. It appears as though, like Krishna says, that bondage, bandhanam. And there is a small story, I'll mention that. And after this, we can have the prasadam. Story is this, that one dobhi, you know what dobhi is? Who? Washerman. He had four donkeys with him. That means he was carrying a lot of clothes. The donkeys carry the clothes to the river. The four donkeys were carrying loads of clothes on their back. And they have one nature. If you look at the donkeys, they will have four donkeys next to each other. They'll put the clothes on that. And they will tie these donkeys. They will connect them each other with a rope. So all four of them will walk together. So the dobhi or the washerman doesn't have to chase them or anything. They are donkeys after all. So donkeys, what do they know? They were just told, you'll give one good smack, then the four donkeys will keep walking non-stop. It will keep walking. It will only stop when they reach the river, when they reach the river bank. So when they got there, these four donkeys, he had to separate them. So he separated them, all the four, because he thought after he has got there, and he wanted to go and wash the clothes, and he wanted to bathe himself in the river. So when he got there, he separated them, and he tied three of them to three different posts. Either tree or something, whatever it is. He didn't have a rope to tie the fourth one. He didn't have a rope to tie the fourth one. So he was thinking, the dobhi was thinking, what am I supposed to do? This, if I don't tie him, he will run away from here. So when he looked riverbank, there was some sannyasi sitting there. And he went up to the sannyasi and told him, Swami, I don't have a rope to tie this fourth donkey, and do you have a rope, if you can lend it to me, to tie this donkey? So Swami said to him, the sannyasi told him, I don't have a rope, but I'll tell you what you should do. He said to him, that you tied the three of the donkeys, isn't it? You go to the fourth donkey and you show like this, that you are tying him to the post. That's enough. He said, that is enough. So what he did was, what the Swami told him, he went and next to that donkey, for which he didn't have a rope, and he showed as though he is tying the rope around the donkey's neck to the post. And that donkey stood there like that till he finished his bathing, washing the clothes, everything, and came back. And after coming back, the three donkeys, he untied them, which he has tied before. He has untied them. But this fourth one is not moving, because he is feeling that he is tied. So what he did that, so he started beating the donkey. He's not moving, because that donkey is thinking he is tied. So he goes back to the Swamiji again and says to the Swamiji, that what has happened to my donkey? It's not moving. I've beaten him enough. Swamiji said, that because you have not let it go free. He says, but Swami, I have not tied it. Why you want me to untie it? He said, Swami said, that you go back there. Just like you have tied the donkey, you again show that you have untied it. And then the donkey will go. Everything will be okay. And that is what that verse is saying. Vando mukta idi vyakya gunado me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. That verse is an explanation of this story. Krishna is saying to us, if you think that you are bound, you are bound. You are a donkey, you are bound. If you think you are not bound, you are not bound. That's all. So that is why when we talk about self-realization, if you make it like a project, after 20 years, 30 years, I'll be unbound or untied, that won't happen. If it has to happen, it has to happen now when we are hearing Bhagavatam. Otherwise, even after 1,000 years, it may not happen. So bondage and liberation is like that. The story of the donkeys. Then, and we are those donkeys. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.